Hey, Lance.
Hello.
Long time no see, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, Carmella.
How are you?
Hiding behind no video, huh?
I was on video for a minute, and I was like, oh, that's scary.
Tom, you're on mute.
There we are. How's that?
That's better.
Much better. Okay.
Got a virtual background tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that. Oh, I like that background.
This one moves.
Oh, nice.
Right? That's where I want to be.
Look at that water.
If you go down in that little arrow next to stop video.
That one?
You can add different scenes. Choose virtual background. There
you go. Let's see. I don't have any. Where's my plus? There we go.
I'm going to have to upload some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a while, huh?
They're useful so people can't see what's behind your...
I know. Desk. I'm at work, so all they're going to see is my desk. I mean, the file cabinets. Where's my backgrounds?
Which item's first? The Lafayette?
Newark.
Newark, okay. Wait a minute. I don't have that one.
We didn't have that. It was online. Everything was posted 10 days before. So it was online, the PDF, but he didn't submit the paper copies. It's a by right subdivision.
Oh, okay. This is from Eric.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I should look for those on my, who would they have come from in an email?
I put them on from Eric, but they were online under all tonight's meeting, and then you can go on and click on everything.
Yes.
So where was it?
So if you go to BentnerCity.org, scroll up.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, they were on there for 10 days. I put them on 10 days ago because they have to be on for 10 days.
Yep.
And usually Eric always sends in, and then when I went to give the handouts, I was like, oh my God, he never sent it in, and it was too late. But they were online. He sent the whole PDF of everything.
The planning board meeting, go to that.
Mm-hmm. And everything should pop up.
Minor subdivision applicant. There's the plan. Cool. I like it.
We had a couple calls about it. They were, you know, not really sure why he would knock down the house, and they're upset. So they are joining some. They said they were joining the meeting. I had about three or four.
Okay.
So that was really the only issue.
Okay. I'm going to go get a drink, and then I'll be ready for the meet.
Is it wine?
No, it's just water.
All right.
Hey, Jim?
Yeah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why my video is not coming up. Wait a minute.
Something's sitting there. The camera's not in the right spot.
Oh, wait a minute. There's something blocking it. Never mind. Good. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I'm not, because I'm not.
What?
I'm not.
What?
I'm not. Listen, when do you want to eat? Everything's ready to be heated up. You just have to let me know when. I quit. Look what I did here.
Did you understand everything I said about the email thing, Lance?
I'm sorry, Jim, what?
Did you understand everything I said about the email thing?
Yep. All good.
Okay. Yeah, so there's way too many people that are doing that right now.
What do they get out of it?
What they want to do is they want you to reply back. Then you're going to reply to them. And either they're then going to attempt to try to get into your address book, or they're going to try to, you know, send more stuff to you. It's way too easy of a thing to do, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, because it wasn't even that, you know, secretive. Their whole email was not even mine.
Yeah. All they do is they change the header information in the email, and it they can change to whatever name they want.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, Doug's going to have fun tomorrow night.
I may not even be there myself, so.
We were able to figure out to minimize as much feedback as we could, but it needs to make sure that unless somebody is talking, everybody else has to be muted, or else you just get all sorts of echo and feedback.
Okay. We should have my first live hearing tomorrow night down in Upper Township.
Oh, wow.
It's just a workshop, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this graduation tomorrow night. They've got it pretty much down to a science, it looks, sounds like. Well, this will be the shape.
Hi, I left two new applications for you upstairs.
Well, I put it on 200 and bake.
Did you find it?
I back.
It's only
6 o'clock. Well, I
heated
in the oven.
Tom?
Yes.
Did you see Jay responded next Thursday is good. He's going to remote into each of the computers.
All right, very good. Yeah.
I'll come over there to make sure. Okay. And then I'll come back here because I have the other ones for the firehouse that are going to be going. Hopefully I'll have them ready. So.
All right. Yeah, that'd be great.
So I just want to make sure. Oh, Lance? Yeah,
we're good for Thursday.
Yep.
They started installing the cameras at the pier today.
Yeah, Chief told me.
We're adding another camera on the other side.
Cool.
That'll give a lot better view, you know, for the police to be able to see things.
Good.
And once I get the webcam information, we'll get that up on the website so people will be able to see the beach and the boardwalk.
That'll be cool. That should go live when? Tomorrow?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure when they'll be all done. They were starting it today, so I'm not 100% sure when they'll have everything ready. And hopefully we'll get the ones at the firehouse started soon after that.
So I'm going back to my childhood. I'm eating animal crackers. An alligator.
Carmella?
Yes.
There's one in the waiting room that just says iPad 81. So I'm not even sure who that would be. The other ones, I mean, Brian Callahan's in there, and the Yanelli/Morgan family.
I do know for the first application, we have a couple people at least claiming that they're going to join that.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. So I just wasn't sure who that iPad 81 might.
I don't think that's any member, but okay. I will say we've only had six respond that were coming in. So I'm sure Dan will probably pop in.
I'm here.
Yeah,
Dan's there. There he is.
Do we have unhappy people tonight?
Just a few.
Everybody's happy.
We had a couple about 17 South and a couple about 158 North Derby.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few more people in the waiting room. I don't know. I mean, must be people for the application, so not anybody that.
Did you get my email about who I had joining?
Yep, I got it right in front of me.
Can you see me?
No.
We cannot see you. We can hear you.
How do I do that? Okay, say.
I just asked you to start the video, so.
Start my video?
Yeah, I sent a request.
Come, you're hungry already. Okay. It's early for you to eat, isn't it? Isn't it early to eat?
Early to eat?
Yeah.
This is 4 o'clock, son.
Oh, because you want that too, right?
Well, I'll take it in the other.
Hello?
Hi, Roman.
How you doing?
How are we doing, Roman? You. They get your lawn fixed from the guy that ran across there?
Yes, I put up a little barrier of, if you drive by, you'll see. I've got a barrier up now. It looks good. People have complimented me on it.
Those spikes in a board sticking up work well?
Real? Right, great.
They work great.
They are, and those big nails too. Did you happen to read the article in the Sunday Inquirer, the restaurant section?
I think Beth sent it to me, the one that was critical of the social distancing that was lacking.
Yes, but it ended positively that restaurants are saying, okay, we're going to do better. So that was good for Ventnor.
Yeah. Been pretty good. Tom and I were with quite a few restaurateurs today, two or three, and trying to help them, you know, create some more outdoor space. And the one that wanted more, because he's turning people away, is Aroma. He's like, I got no more space. He's using all his frontage. He's using his neighbor's frontage across the street, and we weren't able to add any more space because the roadway is too narrow there, Weymouth Avenue. But he's knocking it out of the park. He's got music. He's got, you know, good food and just a neat environment there.
Yeah. Understandable. Hopefully we, how's the movie theater coming along?
Slow but sure. They're working inside. Tim did a tour 2 weeks ago and all the sheetrock's up. They were doing the finishing work, the mudding on that. They are waiting for the carpeting and chairs to be shipped. There was a lot of delays in that.
Can you hear me?
COVID.
Yes, Jay.
Loud and clear.
All right.
Jay, we're talking about the movie theater in Ventnor.
Yes, I gathered that. I heard the first part of it, but I was muted out. So I took care of that.
So they're moving slow. There's no real rush because the governor's not letting them open. So it's kind of a downer there. So they're not really pushing to
get. I understand that AMC movie.
They sued the governors. Yeah.
They sued the governor.
Yep.
We'll see how that works.
Yeah. That's interesting to see how that will work.
Pardon me, Carmela, do we have a quorum, enough for a quorum tonight?
We're supposed to have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Peter's supposed to join. And then that was pretty much it. And Tom should be joining by phone. So we just have to wait and see. Not everyone responded to me.
Okay. So
we should have 7. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We should have 7. We're just waiting on Peter and Tom.
Yeah, we have 6 now. So, we need one more.
We have 5, unless I don't see. Who am I missing?
We're
waiting on Peter and Tom McAdams.
Right, but we have five. I have six on the screen right now.
Right, but I'm included in that.
No, you got Tom Halpin, me, Lorraine, Dan Smith, Jay, and Roman.
Right. We have six.
Oh, yeah, six.
We have six. And so we just need one more. We have a full board.
Is there one from A1? A1 is around the city.
So that's it. I like your background, Lance.
Yeah. How you doing?
Supposed to stop people from seeing my whiteboard that I put up. I've got my list of projects to do. And both CRDA, Ventnor, LBL Associates, and my honey-do list is on there, too.
Yes, it is.
If you go down to your video thing, you can choose your virtual background.
It says I don't have any.
You got to upload some pictures. But mine came – the only one that I uploaded was this one.
Where is it? Where can you upload the background?
Upload pictures. You tell it where to look. See where it says a plus sign by virtual backgrounds.
Yeah, I see it.
I'm not seeing it here. Let's see, plus sign.
See where it says choose virtual background.
No.
You may not be able to do it.
No, I have a toolbar that's maybe blocking it. Let me just see.
It's where it says stop video. There's a little carrot. You can click on that and opens up.
Okay. There's a carrot there. Okay.
Choose virtual background.
Ooh, stop video. Okay. I see the carrot. Yes.
I did this once for the CRDA meeting and they thought I was on the beach. I said, wish I was on the beach.
That is a popular background.
It is.
Lance, is this on taxpayer funds, you being on the beach?
No, it is not.
Well, I'm in San Francisco, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Don't jump. Okay.
That's rather expensive trip for you.
Well, it was easy. It's a problem joint, but what can I tell you? So, thanks for the tip on the carrot, by the way.
There you go. That's Goldstein, Roger.
Okay. Where?
I think you're in this.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good. How you like the building in the summer, Jay?
The building in the summer is great.
It is?
It is. We got the boat here. We got everything. Got the marina going. It's really convenient. The summer is actually very nice here.
Cool.
Not far from the beach. So close to Custard's. What can I tell you?
How's the population?
Well, the building is actually diminished in population because of the COVID.
Right.
Not everybody's coming down. Everybody's participating. So there's a lot of restrictions. So that's limiting the factor all the way around in a lot of aspects in buildings and in other areas.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Roger, yes. So
Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah. All right.
Roger, we got to get you to a hairstylist there, buddy.
Same here.
That's the wind.
It's good. It's that COVID barber.
That's right. He's the only one not laughing. You must not have heard me.
Me?
You got to get to a barber there, Roger.
It's my COVID style, eh?
Like wavy gravy from Woodstock.
Yeah. Well, I said I needed a haircut. My son heard me and he gave me one. And so,
I guess we all can't have a daughter who's a hairstylist.
No,
lucky you.
Yeah.
She's booked through. She's booked through mid-August.
Really?
Every day. She's working every day through mid-August.
That's great.
To catch up.
Well, I can.
She had a new client come in 2 weeks ago as a consult for a consultation. She said, okay, I can cut your hair on August 26th. Cut, style, whatever. You know. The woman's like, what?
It's true. I can't get an appointment. My appointment's for the 18th of this month from the 22nd.
And they're charging double for roots because they're so long.
Then you just dye your whole head.
Yeah, well.
Start fresh.
Yep.
I may be a blonde the next time you see me.
There you go.
Okay. Well, we're going to check out that, Carmella.
All right. We're still waiting on Peter or Tom to join. And they would be our seventh.
Check your audio, Leo. Leo, say something.
There he is.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
How's everyone doing?
All right. Good.
Carm, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, because it was on mute. All right.
All right. Leo, just say something to Carmella.
Carmella, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good.
Okay.
Carmella, are you in the office downstairs?
I am.
Okay. And Roger's upstairs?
Yes.
Social distancing.
We are. Yeah. We don't want that echo either. It's a bad echo up there.
Lance?
Well, what happens if...
Your audio is off.
Yeah.
We only have six.
You can still go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to do our first live commission meeting, in-person meeting tomorrow night. That will also be Zoomed because we're noticing a lot of people are actually coming on and you know, listening and watching. And we want to be able to provide that to people that don't want to come out, but we also want to do it in person.
So Lance, how will you manage that in person?
We're going to spread out in council chambers, commission chambers. We probably won't be up on the dais. Lisa will be up there and maybe the mayor. Mm-hmm. They can separate. She can sit in her seat. Lisa's at the end.
Right.
And then Tim and I will most likely sit down on the table, the planning board tables that are there.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tim McGuire's coming in person. He's going to be remoting in. I think that's it.
So you don't expect a big turnout for the
audience? No, and if they do come, they will have to wear masks. Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll have to wear masks while we're not speaking and try and, you know, social distance that way. The new governor's edict today, or not edict, executive order is that if you cannot social distance, you must wear a mask,
right,
even outside. So get ready, Carmella. We'll be issuing city masks soon. We talked today about that.
Oh, okay.
About getting everybody the same kind of, you know, cloth type mask. It's not the paper one. So,
Lance, what about using the elementary school for planning board meetings? That was brought up, but is it feasible?
You know, I talked to Chief Biaggi about it. He said we have to coordinate with what's the guy's name? Not the superintendent, but the facilities manager over there.
John something?
Ron Fenton.
Ron, that's the name, yeah.
The only problem with that is they wouldn't allow me, their recording system is completely different than ours. So they would have to be there with us.
Yeah.
So that would mean paying them to be there as well.
Right. So it looks like, Jay, we're gonna stick status quo with that for now. What we're doing now, Zoom wise.
It's working. So
we have a portable recording system if we absolutely need to.
Yeah, it's working, Jay. But where it's not going to work is where you have a rather large application with a lot of testimony and projectors. I had a hearing that was in Delran. I went up to Haddonfield to the attorney's office and did the presentation from there. And it was very difficult to really get our point across when there's objectors. So it makes it hard on the applicant, makes it hard on the board. So,
well, can we use
the school
for those? Can we use the school for those?
Well, that's the point. We'd have to work out the issue with recording. I think we would probably, and see, it's hard to do both. Jim is learning that now. It's hard to do a Zoom and a in-person meeting because of the echo. You have
just a ton of feedback with multiple, because every person has to have a laptop.
Yep. So, well, I'll try and work through it. I'm going to say it probably will not happen until August.
I wouldn't figure that. At least I would be surprised if it was the beginning of August. It'd probably be the end of August.
Yeah. I am working on my CRDA meetings to start in person in August. That's our goal, is to get them back in front of
I did send the information to the applicants for a Zoom meeting for the 27th of this month.
And the other issue of having a live meeting, if things change right before that meeting and you have to cancel it, that meeting's gone.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
What do you mean by that, Roger?
Say we advertise for a live meeting and there's an uptick, there's a spike, the governor.
Oh, gotcha. Order. Understood. Excuse me one second.
Mel, you see my notes?
Me?
Yeah, I put some stuff, some notes in chat for you about some people.
Okay, no, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Okay. There's people here, there's a couple phone numbers, and I just don't know the numbers.
All right.
Tom McAdam is 377.
He's the 377, okay.
Yes, so let him in, because he's going to be our seventh, that's good. I don't know the 487 number.
Okay. Yeah, the other people, I mean, Pete Weiss came in, somebody named Sid. Yeah, the rest of them look either for applicants or people for things. So,
how big of a waiting room do we have?
15 people.
Okay.
I know Eric is alone. No one else is coming into that. Glenn Cummings should be here. He is for 21 North Lafayette. But I don't know, you know, I did tell everyone to please sign on with your name. That doesn't mean much, obviously, as we're looking at phone numbers in iPad 81.
A lot of them do have names, and it's not anybody that I, you know, that anybody that I particularly recognize.
Okay.
Tom Davis is here with Rapanzio.
Hi, Tom.
All right, the time is 6:30. Are we ready to go, Jim?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Everybody ready here?
Yep.
Yes.
Let's open it up and let's begin the meeting. Tell me when we're ready to go.
Everybody's in. They're just yep, looks like you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready to go. I wish to call the July 8th, 2020 meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board to session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Would our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Landgraf.
Here.
Tom Halpin.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Tom McAdam. Tom McAdam.
Here.
Roman Zabihutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Kriebel, Mike Wiesen, Peter Tocco, Tim Koob, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy Bartlett.
Carm?
Yes, you're here?
I'm here, Peter Tocco.
Oh, okay. Are you iPad 81?
I believe I am.
Okay.
We got I've been here now. For a while. I was waiting for something to happen.
Okay, Mr. iPad 81, welcome back.
At be this here. Time,
Carm, you got me registered, didn't you, Tom?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay. Next item on our agenda this evening is that of the adoption of the 2020 minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to those minutes? Hearing none or requesting none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of those minutes?
Make a motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions this evening for adoption. They are P-19-2020. That's 111 South Cornwall. P-20-2020, Joe and Lynn Yakovich. And P-21-2020, Jim Owens. Are there any corrections or amendments to those resolutions? They have a motion for adoption. And
I'll second. Make the motion.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The ayes have it. The three resolutions are hereby adopted.
Coming to planning board meeting.
We have three applications this evening. They are JAC Longport, LLC, 17 South Newark, Derby Bay Properties, LLC, 158 North Derby, and Glenn Cummings, 21 North Lafayette Avenue. I gave them an order, but the first application this evening will be that of JJC Longport, LLC, 17 South Newark Avenue. Eric Goldstein is representing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening to everybody. This harkens back a little bit to our meeting last month, as we had a by right, no variance, minor subdivision, and this application is also a by right, no variance, minor subdivision. Mr. McLarnon has reviewed the plan, has deemed it a by right, minor, no variance subdivision. We're here as your ordinance requires us to be here. We've noticed per the tax assessor's list, and we have in front of the board right now one 80-foot wide lot at 17 South Newark, the applicant being JJCC Longport, which is being cut directly down the middle, and two new 40-foot wide lots, each of which meet your minimum frontage and minimum lot area, would be created as a result of the subdivision. We don't have too much testimony, because as Mr. McLarnon's report correctly points out, we're not seeking anything other than to satisfy your city ordinance that this is a by right minor, and we agree with Roger's report and will concur with, certainly we'll answer any questions the board has, but almost the same thing we discussed last month. This isn't a variance. It's one house that's already been demolished and two buildable lots will exist if the board grants the approval. That's really it.
Okay, do you have any witnesses, Mr. Goldstein?
I don't. Based on McLarnon's report, accepting this as a minor by right, there's no, in our opinion, need to have testimony because we're not seeking to establish anything that we otherwise couldn't get by law.
So, for clarity, there are no variances requested. Everything is by right, and the land is vacant. Am I correct?
You're correct. And interestingly, as this subdivision was being done, the property owner on the corner has agreed to take the 40 feet of one of the lots that's being created. So what you're getting here with the demolition of the house is it's a one-for-one swap. One house was there, one house will be built. The neighbor that's taking the property will likely use it for a yard or a pool. So it's also some good luck on everybody's part that there won't be two homes built where one exists. There'll be one built where one used to be and is now vacant ground.
Okay. Do you have anything further to add?
Unless the board has questions, and I'm sure everyone has the plan in front of them, as I do, we'll rest. And we concur with Roger's report and the conditions.
Roger, could you be sworn in and give your report, please?
Sure. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board Chairman and board members. My report is dated July 2nd, 2020. The application of JJCC Longport LLC, 17 South Newark Avenue, Block 77, Lot 4. Again, this is a by-right minor subdivision. As you recall, last meeting, we are going to follow the municipal land use law and create a minor subdivision by-right subcommittee. But that is not in place yet. Here we are tonight. So the materials were reviewed on page one. Page two is the, I'm not even going to do the description. Eric provided the description of the property. You see the zoning chart on page two. They're asking for a waiver for a landscape plan. I concur with that because nothing is proposed at this time. As each lot becomes developed, they will have to comply with the city's ordinance at that time. General comments are as follows. It is a by right subdivision. No variances are requested. No variances are identified. Two street trees will be required for each new lot. The subdivider must comply with the tax assessor. But a new lot numbers, looks like they've already done that. And there's some minor housekeeping items in regard to the map filing law, where they have to change some of the language. And if the monuments, required monuments are not set today or soon before they are signed, they have to bond for those monuments. So there are conditions of the plan. Mr. Goldstein has already indicated that they agree to all the conditions laid out in my report. I really have nothing further to say. Does anybody have any questions in regard to my report?
What are the size of the lots going to be?
Each lot will be.
I'm sorry, Roger.
I can only hear one at a time.
The required minimum lot size. I got it, Eric. The minimum lot size is 2,000 square feet. Each new lot will be 2,800 square feet. So they're oversized by 800 square feet each lot that's proposed.
What is the frontage required? What is the frontage required, Roger?
32 feet is the frontage. They are proposing 40 feet.
So they're in excess of everything?
Yes, even lot depth. They exceed the required minimum lot depth.
Okay. That's great. Do you have anything further to add, or are you complete?
I'm complete.
Okay. At this time, do any board members have any questions of Roger or the applicant? All right. Then we're going to go to the public, and we're going to open up to the public for any comment on this application. Then we'll go back and we'll prepare for voting and any comments prior to that.
Anybody from the public who wishes to speak or ask any questions in regards to this application, please use either the raise hand or the clap hands function in the reactions button. I see a Mr. Brett Goldman. Mr. Goldman, do you have a question in this application?
Yes. So we're
Mr. Goldman. I got to get you sworn in. If you could just state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, sure. My name is Brett Goldman, and address is 22 South Newark Avenue.
And you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So there's a whole bunch of us from the street that are on the call right now. And I guess the question I think that we all had seems to have been answered by Mr. Goldstein. There's going to be one house built and not two. Is that correct?
Well, there's going to be one house built and not two now, but there are two buildable lots. Potentially, they could be built. That's just not the existing plan.
Got it. So our concern is you know, if two houses are built, that's going to make parking on the street, you know, a lot more difficult, and parking is a premium at this point. But I don't think I have any more questions if there's only one house that's going to be built.
But let's be clear, two houses can be built. These lots are each big enough to support their own house. We are not making any representations that in the future two homes won't exist here. I'm just saying at the present time, that's not the plan. So let's not be under any false understanding of what could happen here. Two homes could be built by right, no variances.
And each lot would have to provide their own off-street parking.
Got it.
All right. I think it would be wise to enter into, again, is that when the original house on the corner was built, there was a request to have two homes on the original corner house for that subdivision. The planning board did not allow a two-lot subdivision at that and only allowed them to build one house on there. And there was about 25 feet of surplus land that I think is still with that house that was there. So within development pattern of your neighborhood, there was some judicious looking at it, and there was a denial for a double subdivision on that one to put. They needed a variance for smaller lots, and we would not give it to them.
I remember that.
Okay, so the neighborhood was out in good force and was very eloquent in their speaking, by the way.
And we're out in good force again this evening,
right?
But we just want to. We're very concerned about, you know, more houses being built.
Right. And Mr. Goldman, they're working with their lots exceed the sizes, and they are working with the ordinance. And there is absolutely, they are by the right, and they're making no requests for any modifications whatsoever. So that's the status here. So the hope is that obviously the neighborhood's the development pattern of the neighborhood is actually been pretty good in being preserved. And that's the important part.
As I stated before, if the plan is at the moment for one house, I don't have any more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else who has any questions on this particular application?
Rescue 1's returning to station 1.
The person with the phone number code 609-487-0265, do you have any questions on this particular application?
Yes, could one house be a duplex?
Name and address, please.
Yanelli.
Is that your last name?
Yes, Albert Yanelli.
Okay, and your address, Mr. Yanelli?
White Cross Street.
Okay. And can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yeah. Okay.
It's a single family zone. It's own single family. Two single family homes are proposed.
Could you repeat that, please?
It's a single family zone. They are seeking single family homes. There's no variance requested for a duplex.
Are there any further questions?
Any other questions on that? I guess not.
Okay.
The person with the area code 845-541-1306. Do you have any questions on this application?
I do not. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Got
you. Okay, I'll call you for the next application if there's any. Anybody else from the public on this application? Okay, I do not see any more, Jay.
Okay, thank you. At this point, the public portion of this particular application is now closed. Mr. Goldstein, do you have anything further to add?
No, I just want to make it very, very clear. There are two lots being created, each of which could support one single family house. The plan right now is to build one house, and the neighbor is going to absorb the other lot, which is not to say that in the future another house couldn't be built. But again, as Mr. McLaren points out, it would be by right, and parking would be a requirement of each property owner to take care of that on their lot. So no variances are being sought. We're simply complying with your own ordinance, which is why we're here this evening.
Okay. Roger, do you have anything further? Are you complete?
No, the compliance plans have to be revised to reflect the report, and I'll anticipate that when it comes in if they vote as positive, which it has to be.
Mr. Goldstein, are you complete?
We are complete, and I concur with Mr. McLaren. Whatever he needs in the report, we'll have our engineers get it together and get it over to him.
Thank you. Board members, any further questions?
No.
At this time, Leo, could you frame a motion? Is all are done in the affirmative for the board to vote on this particular property?
Yes. Someone needs to make a motion for minor subdivision approval to create these two new lots. There is a waiver from the landscaping plan with the understanding that there's nothing proposed on the lots at this time. And then the conditions will be that the tax assessor will assign the lot numbers. The applicant will submit revised compliant plans to reflect Mr. McLaren's report of July 2nd. The applicant will comply with any conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, and the applicant will comply with any representations made during the course of the hearing.
Okay, well, our board administrator, call the roll. State your reasons for your vote, please.
We gotta have a motion.
A motion and a second.
May I have a motion? Who was the first?
We need a motion
I'll
and a
make
second.
The motion.
Second.
Okay. Take the motion.
Okay.
Now call the do the roll.
Yes. Commissioner Landgraf.
Yes, it's a by right minor subdivision with no variances. It meets the consistent with our ordinance regulations, and I vote yes.
Tom Halpin.
I too vote yes. I echo Commissioner Landgraf's sentiment.
Jay Cook.
I vote yes. It meets the Ventnor City Ordinance, the master plan, and also it conforms to New Jersey State land use law. So therefore, I vote yes.
Tom McAdam.
I vote yes. This process is a mere formality, being it is a by right application.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. This is a by right minor subdivision, no variances, and it complies with all the requirements of the zone.
Lorraine Salata.
I vote yes. It's by right, and it's in compliance with our ordinance.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor of the application. It is by right and needs no relief.
Okay. Mr. Goldstein, your property or your application is carried. You are hereby approved.
And Jay, thank you all. Have a nice evening. Be well.
Not Jay, not that it really
you too.
Not that it really matters, but Peter can vote on this too. We can take up to 9 since the subdivision.
Okay.
Peter Taco.
Mr. Taco.
All right. Well, thanks for the invite. I will vote in favor of it. It is in fact a by right subdivision and meets all the requirements. So yes, I will vote in favor.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you, Leo. Okay. Now, Mr. You are hereby approved, Mr. Goldstein.
Thank you all. And thank you just for hearing us on the Zoom. Hopefully we'll be in person soon enough, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Are we ready for our next application? And that would be Derby Bay Properties, LLC, 158 North Derby Avenue. I believe Brian Callahan is representing.
Good evening. Brian Callahan of the law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson on behalf of the applicant, Derby Bay Properties. Properties known as 158 North Derby Avenue. For the record, all jurisdictional requirements have been met. This is an R7 zone. The application is to demolish the existing bayfront property and construct a new single-family dwelling and new bulkhead. I wish I could say, like Mr. Goldstein just said, that it's by right with no variances, but I have 9 feet of bulkhead on one side, 16 feet of bulkhead on the other side. So there's probably not a variance that I don't need, given the fact that there's a 12-foot front yard setback and I only have 9 feet to build on. I have Tom Days from Arthur Ponzio's office, who's our professional engineer and planner. I have Pete Weiss, who was the architect on the project. And Lorraine, I'll make sure he speaks loudly for you.
That's it.
I have Paul Giegrich, who's the managing member of Derby Bay Properties, the owner of the property, and also the next door owner of the property. So Mr. Cook, if you want to swear all three people in before we go to Mr. McLaren's report.
Yes, I'd like to.
That'd be fine.
All right, Mr. Dace, Mr. Weiss, and Mr. Giegrich, you can each just state your name and address or business address, and I'll just swear you in all together.
Paul Giegrich, 152 North Derby.
Peter Weiss, 101 North Washington Avenue, Margate.
Tom Days, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
And each raise your right hand, please. Do you each swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay.
Before we start, the credentials of Mr. Weiss and Mr. Days are accepted. One's a professional engineer, the other's an architect. They've appeared before this board numerous times.
Mr. Days, you're a planner too, right?
Correct.
Okay, so Mr. Days is a planner and an engineer, and Mr. Weiss is an architect. Thank you.
Correct. So we move ahead. Roger, at this time, before Mr. Callahan proceeds, could you give your overview of the application?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Board Chairman, Board members. I sent a revised report out today, and I had a formatting issue on page 2, but the context of the report doesn't change. So the report is dated July 3rd, 2020, revised July 8th, 2020, in regard to the application of Derby Bay Properties, LLC, 158 North Derby Avenue, Block 162, Lot 11 in Ventnor, New Jersey, seeking the C variances. They're within the R7 single family district, preliminary term zone AE elevation 9. It is complete. It's a hardship variance and a substantial benefit variance as well. The materials reviewed are on page 1 and 2. The project description is as follows. The applicant proposes to reconstruct a new flood compliant single family dwelling located partially upland of a new bulkhead with the majority of the dwelling over open water. The house was likely damaged during Superstorm Sandy and currently has a dilapidated timber bulkhead that will be replaced. Compliant bulkhead, waterward of the existing timber bulkhead. This type of project is not unusual along this stretch of Derby Avenue, and a similar application was approved next door, northward, in 2018. Again, it's within the R7 zoning district. The bottom of page 2 and page 3 indicate the zoning chart. There are quite a few variances. Most of these are related to the situation of very small upland area to work with. So the variances are as follows. One is lot area, whereas the zoning in this area requires 2,000 square feet minimum lot size and only 660 square feet of upland area is available. Clearly, this is a hardship variance and a dwelling already exists. The second variance is lot depth. 2.5 feet is the minimum permitted for all uses, and 9.8 feet exists for the upland portion of the lot, including the bulkhead, and 9.8 feet is proposed. Front yard setback to the building, whereas 12 feet is a required minimum setback, and 4 feet is proposed. Side yard setback to the deck, whereas 4 feet is a minimum required side yard setback for all principal and accessory uses and structures, and 0 feet is proposed. Same thing with the deck on the right side, it's 4 feet and 0 feet is proposed. Rear yard setback to the building, whereas 12 feet is a minimum required rear yard setback for all principal and accessory uses, and 0 feet is proposed. Rear yard setback to the decks for the first, second, and third, so it's basically three variances, whereas 6 feet is the minimum required rear yard setback for all the decks, and 0 feet is proposed. rear yard deck height, second floor, whereas no deck is permitted to be higher than the first floor, and a second floor deck is proposed. The ninth variance, rear yard deck height for the third floor, same reason for the second floor. Lot coverage, whereas the maximum permitted lot coverage for this district is 75%, and 86% is proposed. Again, with minimal lot area to provide access to the building, most of it will be covered with the lot, with the coverage of the building or whatever. Eave height, whereas no eave is permitted to be higher than 2 feet above the finished third floor, and one is proposed to be 8 feet over the third floor. Off-street parking. Technically, two off-street parking spaces, legal parking spaces, don't exist, so they are seeking the variance for minimum size requirements, which would then provide the off-street parking requirement. You need 19 feet, and there's two spaces that will be between 16.2 feet and 16.8 feet, so around 2.5 to 3 foot variance for each parking space. Landscape total area, whereas 25% of the lot is required to be landscaped, and 13% is proposed. Again, there's this minimal upland area to work with. They have not requested any waivers. I request a waiver when you need a variance. The comments, I'm not gonna go through all my comments, I'm just gonna regurgitate the variance requests. But the rear yard deck height, similar to the one next door, that rear yard deck height requirement where the second and third floor cannot be higher than the first, the intent is for the ordinance is for privacy for interior landlocked lots, not for open water lots. Technically, all off-street parking requirements are being met, but due to the size of the spaces, they aren't being met. Two street trees are proposed, but I recommend that they be waived. In this area, it's not a good idea to plant trees here, and we did request that waiver or grant that waiver next door. Shrubs are proposed to meet the city's ordinance. Again, our recommendation is any shrubs or plantings should be in a raised bed in this low location. The problem I have, my comment about the parking spaces and providing relief for the depth is most likely these cars will be hanging over the sidewalk and blocking public sidewalk traffic. And by ADA accessibility rules, that's not permitted. So the recommendations are on page 6 of my report. And the one I'd like to highlight is if they have positive outcome tonight, all downspouts for the roof only, shall be directed through the open water to reduce the load on the city's storm sewer system. We're going to need construction details for the concrete vertical curving, the press curb, sidewalk, concrete aprons, etc. All the curbing and sidewalks need to be replaced. I was out there today. They're in pretty poor condition. And also the bulkhead plans, they are going to be compliant to the city's ordinance. And I recommend that a condition of approval of this application be granted only if the bulkhead is replaced. And all other state and local requirements or permits are needed for this application, including the waterfront development permit and the CAFA permit, which were not part of this application. That concludes my report at this time.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan, you've heard the report. Do you have any comments on that at this time?
We'll walk ourselves through it. I mean, the conditions that Mr. McLarnon talked about of fill and those types of things and downspouts, those types of conditions were all acceptable to us. So what I would recommend, and this is, in our opinion, a true classic C1 variance. It's a little bit of, well, it's a unique lot, but in one hand we have 9.8 feet to part of the bulkhead, and then it jocks back out, and we have about between 16 and 17 feet to the other portion of the bulkhead where we intend to put some parking and doing those things. So we think it's a classic C1 variance. I think the board has probably handled these variances on every property up and down Harvard Avenue, Derby Avenue, Edgewater Avenue, Winchester Avenue on the Bay. All of these properties based upon Ventnor's ordinance of only counting the land to the bulkhead requires the variance relief. in our particular case, as Mr. McLaurin indicated, the one portion of the bulkhead where the house is being built is only 9.8 feet to the bulkhead. So you don't even have a 12-foot front yard setback. Our neighbor to the right had 10 feet of bulkhead the entire width, and our neighbor to the left, which is Mr. Giegrich's other house, is in the same or similar condition. So all new construction requires, in our opinion, all the same or similar type variances that are being asked for tonight. So without further ado, let me call Mr. Days and have him walk you through the property, give you the project description, and we'll go from there. And then if you have any questions, we'll be more than happy to jump in and answer them as you go. Tom, are you there?
I am.
Okay.
All right. So as has already been discussed, just about every variance that we're requesting tonight is either related to the size of the lot, you know, and the configuration with the bulkhead, and or requirements of the CAFR approval that we got, which means that the house and docks and decks connected to the house have to be within the same footprint of what was existing. We can't shift them in any way. We can't expand outside of those footprints. So in other words, to get relief on the one side yard setback, we can't shift the house over a couple feet to eliminate that setback. That is what CAFR requires if we want to rebuild the house. The other variances we're asking for the most part, consistent with the neighborhood and the way that the neighborhood's been developed. So that front yard setback of 4 feet, you know, that wasn't just something we came up with out of thin air. We looked at how that block is developed, especially if you're looking right down that street. They all have, you know, 4 foot or less front yard setbacks. We think we're very consistent with that. You know, the coverage issues, 1% of coverage is 6 square feet. So if you think about the plan you're looking at that we submitted, every one of those plans is 1% of coverage. So, you know, with the amount of lot area that we have, there's not really any opportunity to provide any less coverage than we have. We have a sidewalk, we have steps, and we have a driveway, and that's it. So that is all the coverage that we're proposing. The other...
I'm just going to jump. When the lot area is 2,000 square feet, we have 660 square feet of upland, but from a deed point of view, we own 4,250 square feet. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. 4,000, and I think we're 74% of the lot is water area. But, you know, that's all our deeded lot area. We own it. We just can't do anything with it.
Go ahead. Why don't you continue walking them through the variance relief that we're requesting?
Okay. So, I mean, the rear yard variance is obviously we're, you know, over the bulkhead. So, obviously, we don't have any opportunity to meet that rear yard setback. That's to the bulkhead. It's not to the rear lot line. The building coverage, we're actually well under because there's only a little portion of building that we're permitted to reconstruct. And then, like I said, for lot area, I addressed that. We're asking for a variance there, but we have minimized lot coverage as much as we can. We have driveways and walkways, and that's it. Another...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, with respect to the decks at the rear of the property, those decks all require variances because, once again, the zero setback, technically the bulkhead is 50 feet behind us where the deck is, and the ordinance really didn't contemplate having decks over the water with it without having variance relief being granted because of a zero setback with the bulkhead behind us. But those decks are technically invisible to the people on the other side of the street because they're tucked in.
Correct. And as Mr. McLaurin said, this isn't a situation where we back up to another lot where the second and third floor decks would be looking down into someone else's yard. You know, they're over the water. They're not looking at anyone else's yard. So I think for those reasons, they could be, you know, they're justified for all those reasons.
All right. Go ahead and continue on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
All right. We have the parking variance. We have two options in looking at this. We would either need to request the variance that the next door neighbor got, which would be to provide no on-site parking, or we looked at, because of the fact that the bulkhead jogs back and we do have 16 feet, we looked at the possibility of creating two on-site parking spaces just to get those two spaces that we don't have the opportunity for those two spaces, wouldn't have opportunity for anything more than that on site. And I understand that the issue of parking into the driveway or into the sidewalk, just by way of example, everybody, you know, a Cadillac Escalade is one of the longer vehicles on the road. They're 16.9 feet long. We're proposing a spot that's 16.2 feet. So majority of the vehicles that could be parked in that space actually could park completely within the property lines. We just think, again, this was a good way to provide on-site, off-street parking where currently none exists. Two other variances, we have a landscape coverage variance. Again, we've maximized the open landscape area, what we have. And then there's also an eve height variance. And Mr. Weiss may be able to address a little bit more as to why we'd be asking for that. But basically what it comes down to is we're not asking for a height variance. We are 1.5 feet under the maximum height we'd be permitted to go to. You know, we have a very narrow house. There's not a lot of floor area. So we're trying to maximize livable space as much as we can.
With respect to the parking variance, again, our bulkhead is a little bit of an angle. So we have 16.2 feet to a 16.9. So as you indicated, most cars would be able to fit within those parking spaces without encroaching into the right of way. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's we know it's not a legal space. That's why we're asking for the variance. So we think for practical purposes, we think we can provide two safe off-street parking spaces on this property.
Before I jump into Mr. Weiss, let's talk a little bit about the positive and the negative criteria with respect to the project. From a positive point of view, could you address some of the reasons why we believe that this meets the positive criteria?
Certainly. We have a 50-foot of lot frontage, and we're proposing a building that is less than 16 feet wide. So from the standpoint of light, air, and open space, you know, this lot is mostly open space. It's 70% open. You know, our building, the building is 30% of the lot width. When we look at the surrounding neighborhood, we believe what we're proposing tonight is very consistent with what has been developed. And again, because of the limitations of what CAFRA will approve for existing homes and future redevelopment, we anticipate that future development will also look to be consistent with the pattern that exists on that block. The general welfare is preserved. I mean, as was mentioned, the house that's there now it's an eyesore. It's not a very nice house. It is structurally sound, but, you know, that takes a lot of maintenance to maintain that. You know, replacing it with a code compliant modern dwelling that meets all FEMA requirements is certainly good for the general welfare of that community. Also, it's a significant upgrade to the city in terms of the aesthetics and the property value. You know, we're proposing a house that, again, you know, triple or quadruples at least the value of that property. And then finally, part of this, and has already been mentioned, would be a requirement of this. We'd be providing a bulkhead, a brand new bulkhead, engineered bulkhead, that would meet the city's bulkhead height requirements. The next door neighbor recently constructed a bulkhead. This one's coming in. And as is the goal of that ordinance, over time, this block will have bulkheads between 8 and 9 feet. And at that point, the city would be able to perform some upgrades to the stormwater systems and really mitigate a lot of the flooding problems that this neighborhood has.
From a negative point of view, the variances we're asking for, common for these type of properties along the inside thoroughfare?
Yes. Yeah, as you mentioned, they're common for this block. Calvert Avenue, which is perpendicular to the street, has all the same issues. Harvard Avenue. I know on the other side, there's Surrey Avenue, has a lot of the same issues. Yeah, the bulkheads are not, they're too close to the street to really be able to meet the lot area, the coverages, and the setbacks.
Once again, do you see any type from a first prong, any type of substantial detriment to the character of the neighborhood or the neighborhood itself?
No, as you said, we've designed this property to match the character of the neighborhood and to be consistent with the setbacks that exist.
Once again, do you see a substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance, or is this really a new single-family home in a single-family district?
It's a new single-family home, single-family district, and just about all of the variances we're seeking are directly related to the hardships of the unique size of this property.
And even the C2 requirement, where there's a benefit to the community, the new bulkheading, a 50 feet of new bulkheading at the compliant level, is truly a benefit to the community. When you tie it in to the next door neighbor's 50 feet, you now have along that line 100 feet of brand new bulkhead that's compliant.
Correct. And we expect that to develop, to continue as the community's neighborhood's redeveloped.
I don't have any questions, Mr. Days. I'll jump in with Mr. Weiss, unless the board wants to go with Mr. Days first.
I have one question with Mr. Days. Roger, unless you'd like to go first.
Just a quick question. How do you access the docks and the piers? Is it through the parking area? Is that what I see on the plan?
Well, if you look at Mr. Weiss's plan, the bulkhead is actually, those docks are going to have to be accessed from the decks. And I say that because if you look in the elevation views on Mr. Weiss's plan, the front elevation, and you look, there's very little space between the bulkhead and that deck. So there would be there's no access at grade. In order to get over that bulkhead, at that point, you're up at that height.
And Mr. Giegerich is here also confirming that the access to the docks would be off of the deck.
Okay. Mr. Days, with regard to the bulkhead, you mentioned that the Giegerich property at 152 next to it is going to need a new bulkhead also. Is that new bulkhead going in the same time that this bulkhead is going in?
I heard Mr. Giegerich, I don't believe there are currently plans. I'm just looking going forward. At some point, that certainly would need to be, but Mr. Giegerich may be able to address if he has any immediate plans for that.
Okay, well, the point is if it's not going in and it's not being contiguous, then I think the board would request that there be a return on the bulkhead because that bulkhead is obviously deteriorated as well. And there'll be erosion and so on going in. You're familiar with that. We've required it in other properties as well. It's been discussed with you. That would be a requirement, I would think, when you're joining you're not continuing to you're marrying to a defective bulkhead.
Mr. Cook, that is shown on the plans that we will have a return tying in. So if you want to make it a condition of the resolution,
I would make it a condition, yes.
It's already shown on the plan. Thank you. Any other questions of Mr. Days, or should I jump in with Mr. Weiss?
Let's go with Mr. Weiss.
Peter, are you with us?
I am.
You want to talk a little bit about the eave height variance and how we designed that and determined that?
Okay, so there's several factors that came into play, I guess, with the decision to raise the eave height. One was the basic width of the building is only about 16 feet. So if you were to comply with the requirement of having a 2-foot wall or 2-foot eave at either side, and then going up to the peak, and a width of 16 feet, you'd only end up with about a 6-foot strip down the middle of the building where you'd have 8 foot of ceiling height. So that greatly restricts the usability and area of the third floor. Effectively, it would make the third floor useless. Now the building overall, including all three floors, is only about 2,400 square feet. So if you lose the third floor, you're effectively down to well under 2,000 square feet, which is a very small building. In addition, we're about close to 2 feet under the maximum height limit, so that played into it a little bit. And I measured today, we're more than 30 feet away from the property or to the building to the north, so we got a substantial setback between our building and the building to the north, and there's also a very large setback, I don't know what it is, but it's more to the south. So the ordinance basically contemplates having 8 feet between buildings, but we have well over 30 feet to the building on either side. So, to that extent, we're still providing, I think, lots of light and air to the properties on either side.
Also, Peter, okay. As an addition, when the first story in the front of the building is not a straight up 3 stories going up, it's a 1 story, and then you've stepped it back so that the other portion of the building is technically out over the water to give it some architectural relief.
Yes, the second and third floors are stepped back 7 feet from the first floor, so it does step back on the front.
So when you're looking at it from the front facade, you're not looking at a wall 4 feet off the property line going straight up.
Correct, yes.
Talk a little bit about materials, what we're using, and how we complied with CAFR.
The intention was to use cedar impressions for the siding for all three stories for the most part. We have some accents, I guess, with some board and batten on the front on the third floor. The roof would be all roof shingles, I mean asphalt roof shingles. And this would continue over this the roof that we have on the deck on the first floor to the left. So it's all basically maintenance-free materials.
And the decks in the rear, do you see any impact on the neighbors with the decks in the rear? Or are they really, you know, once again, from a design point of view, to be a front yard type facade facing the water?
Yes, I think I understand what we're saying. Yes. Yeah, they're looking out over the water, so there's no real privacy concerns. Most of the other houses along there, of course, have decks in the rear because that's why you're, you know, building there for the view.
I don't have any other questions of Mr. Weiss. Once again, I would open up to the board.
Tom, I have a question for you. Actually, Peter and Tom, it's Roger. The building coverage of 14%, does that include roof deck to the left? And 14% seems a little light on this.
I wonder who did that.
No, I would say, I can double check that quick. I would say that probably does not include the deck. That would just be the principal structure.
Yeah, the order to read that you have a deck with a roof over it that counts as building cover.
True.
I don't know if that triggers a variance or not. I don't think so. Gets you closer to that 60%.
We need to get a number on that. I'll get a total number on this.
Yeah, actually, that coverage would be 67.5%.
So you need a variance for that?
Yes.
For the same reasons that they provided testimony for, it's they're basically swapping out lot coverage for building coverage. In the grand scheme of things, at this tape lot, I don't think that really has a big negative contribution on this.
And Mr. Days, that's an open air porch, correct?
Looking at Mr. Weiss's drawings, I believe that's a covered deck.
Covered, but I mean, it's not. You don't have four walls up in glass.
No walls. No, no, no.
Heated and air conditioned.
Correct. No, no, no. So, it's open air. It's no walls. Correct.
Right.
All right. Question I have is for Peter. Is Peter 16 feet is quite narrow on a property. I'm sure you haven't designed too many of these. Is there any way to we've gotten over the years, tall, skinny properties have gotten a lot of, shall we say, complaints about them or the design. I don't know what you can do here, but 16 feet is very narrow. I haven't seen one this narrow in a long time. I've seen one, and we've had our chops broken on that one for years on Calvert Avenue. So, do you have any suggestions in here for to making this building not appear as narrow, as skinny and narrow as it is?
Well, we can't make it wider. I mean, we did what we could to create some depth to the front of the building. But you know, it is what
it
is.
I like that you step back. That was a good idea.
And the third floor has a little bit of relief too. But you know, it is what it is. We can't make the building wider. And we did keep it a little bit shorter than we could have. So, but that's, you know, about as limited as we can, as we are.
And Mr. Cook, we also had looked at, you know, the next door neighbor added, you know, did a big dormer on his side. we looked at that, but then we thought, okay, now you're building two cookie cutter houses on the bay, which, you know, really isn't the intent of bayfront developments to have something a little bit different, a little bit different designs as you drive your boat down the bay.
A dormer would help reduce the some of the signature of the height with this thing. That was a question they had, is how could that be employed to do that?
I then need variances for the dormer.
You need them now. So, you know, take your pick.
Well, I need an eave height versus, you know, dormer. Well, that's why we just thought putting a dormer in makes a cookie cutter to the guy next door. And we decided, I mean, when you look at it from architectural, the Hoffman House, which is a beautiful home, they took the property up three stories at the front yard level. So they did, well, I say three stories, two and a half stories up at right at the front. Peter decided to, okay, to change it up, we did the one story and stepped it back so it would give architectural relief there, once again, to give a different front appeal, but maintain still some livable space at the third floor. So,
which is a good idea. I mean, I'll grant that. But now the question is would a dormer work on this one as well to help with some of this scale and signature with the property? That's all I'm asking.
Well, we thought the architectural, since it was out over the water, with the front yard being the architectural relief.
Can I ask Peter that question?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you. Peter.
Yes.
You heard the question. I'd like you to address that if at all possible.
So your question is whether or not we could put a gable on the front of the building on the third floor?
Or a dormer it, or whatever the case is, to reduce some of the height signature and, you know, get this problem with scale with these tall, thin buildings.
Jay, it's Lance. I'm having a hard time following what you're doing. A dormer on the side, coming out the side of it?
No. Be on the top.
On the top, but it would come out so that you're looking at the front of the property, you got the peaked roof. It would be on the right or left side coming out of that. Wouldn't that make the mass of the structure bigger?
I'm not sure.
I think you're confusing dormers and gables. So
not a gable.
Yeah, I know what a dormer is. It would come out of the pitched roof, right? It would project out from that pitched roof to either the right or the left side, correct?
I think he's suggesting making a front roof a hip roof and having a dormer in the hip roof facing.
Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Actually, it's already created a dormer on the front.
Yeah, it kind of does have that look, doesn't it?
That is like a hip roof on the front with that dormer coming out, because that dormer space is in the attic and it's not in the living space.
Okay, Peter, thank you.
So it really does effectively. Yeah. My question is, on that third floor, don't we have an ordinance that says it has to be 75% of the floor?
95%, you're at 94%.
94%?
That's what its rate is right now, yeah.
Well, isn't the ordinance at 75%?
Correct. I need the variance.
I think that's what's creating the scale that Jay has
right, exactly.
Yeah, but if you make this building any more narrow, it's going to look ridiculous up there on the third floor.
If you take the second house on Calvert Avenue, the blue house that was built sometime after that little tiny skinny one, and apply some of the principles that they use in their design, which I believe is a very, very aesthetically pleasing building, you know, with the dormers and everything, to break that third floor up, it really could be a whole lot more interesting. Does anybody know what building I'm talking
about? That. You know that address by any chance?
It's probably third from the end towards Harvard. Not Harvard.
Irby's? Is that the doctor's house?
Are you talking about Edgewater Avenue?
No.
Harvard Avenue.
Oh, Harvard.
Harvard, yeah. That might be
Calvert, you said. You said Calvert.
Calvert.
Yeah. Calvert. That might be
that real skinny house.
Well, there are two real skinny houses.
Yeah.
Right. There's one that sits next to the doctor's house.
Right.
Between the doctor's house and Gary.
That was the doctor's house is the real skinny one.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then he built that big one next to it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, okay. I didn't know he owned them both at one time.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
Yeah, so that house, but further down the block south is another house. It has blue siding on it. It's three stories.
That might be Brass's house.
They did a beautiful job. Yeah. Really, really nice job.
The other plus I think that we have on this particular property is that we have setbacks of roughly 30 feet and 40 feet between properties. That's all open water. So it doesn't give you that appearance of tall, skinny, narrow next to tall, skinny, narrow next to tall, skinny, narrow.
Granted. In there. I just was looking for a way, there's a scale. We were a scale, and I'm just trying to look at it's the height versus the width is the problem, is the image. Now, we just picked up another variance in here for the third floor. Am I correct, Roger?
Yes, for the floor area.
Well, to have that floor combined, how many square feet would, how much would that have to go back to eliminate that variance?
Sounds like 20%.
That's awesome. Peter, are you following along?
We
over to the 5-foot wall height.
You didn't come through, Roger. Say it again.
151 square feet have to reduce to less than 5 feet of wall height. So if they move that front wall back, we're reduced. They added a hip roof in the front for about 10 feet. That would make that third floor comply.
I'm looking at this thing and I see that bottom. I think that deck that we talked about adding to the building coverage, to me, that pulls that visual of the building being too narrow down a little bit.
I agree with that.
That first floor pulls that, at least the first level, to me, it brings my eye away from, it's only two. I just clicked the aerial. I'm sorry.
Lance, I think you're right.
Visually, you only see two stories above it rather than three.
Yeah,
the whole front facade, the front deck and the front facade hides that entire first floor.
Well, right now, okay.
Yes, it is narrow, and I get that, but I really like the look of that porch pulling from to the left of the site and really widening that first floor. While it's not inside the building, that roof line coming across to me just adds...
Lance,
I
think you're right. I agree with you.
I don't see a problem with the elevations, really.
Right.
What's that, Peter?
I don't
you
see
guys are the builders.
The elevation. I think it's a good look of building. I know that it is narrow, but I believe that Lance is correct in it with that visual of the really wide first floor, it looks a little deceiving that the building is
okay. Well, that's why we're talking about it, and I'm glad it all came out this way because I didn't see it.
Yeah.
We still have to talk. We're still talking, getting a need an answer on this variance for the third floor and how to eliminate that variance.
I don't think it's that third floor anyway.
As I can see it, if you eliminate 162 square feet up there, you're going to lose one of those bedrooms. And I think if it were mine, I would ask for the variance and hope for the best.
I would agree with Mr. Taco. I think
that's of course you would.
Taco.
Because Paul's right. Standing behind you would whack you in the head if you didn't.
That's right.
Yeah.
He has a sharp knife in it. Right.
He's jabbing you, right?
Roger gave a solution to that. It was a 5-foot-high wall. Not an elimination, but there's a 5-foot-high wall with a hip roof going off it. Am I correct, Roger?
Yes.
And Ed, Peter, you're up. What does that do, and how does it change things?
I'll tell you what, though. A 16-foot-wide building, that's going to shrink that room down quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it's not. Is it a good idea or a bad idea?
I think how he has it presented tonight works.
Okay, fine. Then that's an added variance, and we'll go with it. But you have to ask the questions first before you just add it in there.
No, it was good dialogue.
Right. Very good.
Okay.
I mean, they've already lost not for nothing. I mean, I'm looking at that. There's the HVAC units that are inset into the building. So they're already losing that center core, you know, quite a bit of space there. So stairwell going up. Okay. I just don't see you take any space away from that third floor.
All right, well, we've had a good dialogue on this whole thing. And it's vetted it out. Now the next, you have a other thing in here, zero lot line on some of your decks and so on in there. From some prior applications we've had, we've tend to move some of those zero lot lines back a little bit in the deck areas so that they're not quite on the line because that causes a lot of problems in maintenance or if somebody does something later. I know buildings are far apart now, but I'd like you to address the point is that you have some walkways at zero lot line.
Okay, I don't think that's the case. The walkway on the right hand side is looks like it's 3 feet from the
well,
problem.
They said that they in their dialogue they had zero lot line.
The zero lot lines are for the all of the rear decks because the rear decks are built over the water.
Okay,
and they're measured back to your bulkhead 50 feet behind me.
So all your zero lot lines are to the rear of the property and not in the side yards.
Well, in the left side yard, there's a zero.
Yeah. Just on that.
For that deck we just talked about that we all liked.
Right. Right. There's a zero lot line on that. And usually as a practice, we don't usually like to go to zero lot lines from a maintenance standpoint and for what happens with adjoining owners at some point in time. You've encountered that before in some of your properties as well. So I'd like suggestions in that into how much it would be advisable to pull that back away from the lot line so that we don't have neighborly squabbles in the future and it can be maintained.
Is that the applicant's lot though? Doesn't he live there?
Somebody on the other side.
On the other side, I think we have an existing nonconformity of 2.53
right.
in the walkway. On the side that abuts our house, it's the open air porch that is at zero, which there's no wall there, so there's no real maintenance issue up against.
I understand that, but you have to go on somebody else's property to maintain it, and that was the issue. So my only concern is if you have the opportunity to cure a zero lot line problem, why introduce it in the first place?
So let me ask my question again. Who owns lot 10?
We do.
That's my point. So maybe we get an easement from that lot.
In the event that Mr. Giegert has to maintain the garage that's on lot 10, that this lot would give him permission to maintain the garage.
There has to be a solution somewhere. You have to come up with a solution somewhere if you have zero lot line.
That would be it.
Well, what is your solution?
That Mr. Giegert would give himself an easement to that property so that he could maintain his garage if he had to restucco it or lift it or do anything along those lines.
Is that acceptable to Leo? Is that an acceptable solution, Roger?
Okay, I'm okay with it.
You have a lot. Lot 10 would have to give an easement to Lot 11 to maintain
it. Yeah, it's the other way around, Brian.
It would be. And because the other issue would be, if I cut back the deck that's there,
the parking.
I lose the parking that's there also then.
Right.
It just wouldn't be covered, right?
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, the column would be in the middle of the parking space.
Right.
I mean, how far are you moving it back? Are you moving it back 6 inches? Or are you moving it back 5 feet?
6 inches isn't going to do any good.
No, it won't. It won't.
Access okay. The other property.
Right.
So I think we have a unique situation here where Mr. Geer owns Lot 10. He
right.
can give an easement to Lot 11 of 3 feet so nothing can get built there.
Right.
They can maintain this deck or whatever they need to do on that.
Yeah, problem. Something has to be done there so they can maintain it.
All right. This is not the Sigismundi application.
I have no idea what the relevance of that is, but we're not doing that here, and that's not relevant here. So what relevant is the situation here for somebody to maintain it.
We can do that. We can grant the easement.
Okay. You can grant the easement. That solves that problem.
Yes, it does.
Okay. At this point in time, do you have anything further from your professionals to add to your testimony?
We do not.
Are there board members have any other questions?
I do.
Yes. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Okay. I think this is probably to Leo. I'm wondering about the parking. The spaces you said that are not ADA compliant, is that correct?
Yeah, that's
okay. So my question is, how, if we were to give approvals for that, is that impact the city in any way? Is there any liability that could come from that, or you know, to avoid a future problem?
Lorraine, it's Roger. The spaces are not required to be ADA compliant. My concern was if a car is blocking the ADA accessible sidewalk, which is the public sidewalk.
Oh, I understand that. I worded that poorly. So having said that, even so a car is sticking out, is the city in any way liable for anything?
For enforcing it, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, the city would have to enforce it.
And we've done that. We've issued violations.
Well, no, if there's a car parked and someone gets hurt, you know, and they're over on the sidewalk.
If the car is parked illegally, no. It's the owner of the car who parked it there.
Right.
But if we give it approval.
90% of the cars that are out on the street today are 16 and a half feet or so.
Correct.
The largest one, I did the same research that Tom Days did, looking at car sizes. You know, Cadillac Escalade, 6.7, right. 6.9 feet. Silverado, 18. That would be too big to park there.
Count the number of trucks on that street.
Right. The mid-sized truck. Car, like an Audi A6, is 15 and a half feet.
Okay.
So those cars are going to fit there.
So we're not giving them permission to stick out over the sidewalk.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
We're
giving them permission to have a parking space that is smaller than the ordinance requires.
Well,
that's correct. It doesn't give them permission to park in the sidewalk.
Here's another thing. That street has an inordinate amount of full-size pickups.
I'm sorry,
there.
Say that again?
It has an inordinate amount of full-size pickups parked on that street, which are longer than 16, they're over 17 feet. And the other thing is that we lose one parking place. There's two parking places there. There's one already on the street. So they're putting two, but we're losing one. Our net gain is only one spot.
I'm in favor of having parking there. Don't misunderstand.
I understand
because that street is a problem with parking. I'm very familiar.
I just wanted
to make sure there would be no liability in any way.
So I think the best way to say it is they're allowed to park there, but they're not allowed to hang over.
Right.
Okay. All right.
I'm making just apprising the board is that when you get we're going to lose a parking place, and the net gain in parking places is just one spot. In there, for everybody, and that is the case. So, and parking is at a premium that everybody jumps around on that street. And because there is no parking and we can't even supply or grant it. So one thing is about fairness and so on. And I understand about parking, but you know, people shuffle for parking places on that street. And that is something to be cognizant of.
To Lorraine's point, though, we would be liable if we were granting a parking space of, like, say, 12 feet, knowing that the cars would be full time.
Yeah.
So we're not doing that, but I that's it's point well taken.
I agree.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we complete with questions? If not, I'd like to open up to the public. James?
Hey, anybody from the public who have any questions, please use the raise hand or the clap function. First question I have is from Mickey Hoffman.
Miss Hoffman, can you start? Yes, Mickey Hoffman, 162 North Derby. 162 North Derby. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the board. I had sent a letter. I'm not sure Carmela shared that with the board. I sent it to her last evening, so didn't give her much time. First, I'd like to thank Derby Bay Properties for finally doing something with this property. The property has been eroding for quite some time, specifically the bulkhead missing and the soil erosion under the sidewalk. So we do appreciate that. My two concerns with the variance, the one was with the permeable, and I believe Mr. Dace, you addressed that there's going to be 13% permeable space. That was one of the things that the board enforced when I come for mine. I know that they wanted a significant amount of permeable space because of the flooding we get there. Second, obviously, is the parking, which everyone was discussing. And I have a couple questions, and one I'm a little bit of a conflict I don't really understand. I was using the CAFRA application that was sent to us by the state on August 16th, 2019. I'm not sure where you guys are referring to this 16 feet. On that CAFRA application that was received, it showed the distance between the existing bulkhead and the sidewalk at 12.9 feet with an allowable 2-foot expansion beyond that, which would give me 14.9 feet. So I'm not sure why we're talking about 16.8. I guess my second question, is there an approved CAFRA application? Mr. Dace, I would ask you, is there an approved CAFRA application?
Yes, we have CAFRA approval.
Was that sent to the public before this meeting?
The
approved CAFRA application?
I'm not sure if that was part of what needed to be noticed or not.
I did not see an approved CAFRA application with the documents that were online at the Ventnor City website. So even if it's 16.8, which there's a little bit of conflict there with what was originally submitted, so I'm not sure if something was submitted differently from the public notification that we received back in 2019. But yeah, if it's 16.8, I did the same thing as everybody else. I looked at the distance of cars. I saw a Ford Explorer is 16 and a half feet. So if I'm parking a Ford Explorer in that parking spot, I have 3 inches if I pull that car all the way up to the bulkhead. And I guess I have another question for Mr. Dace. Is that 16.8 the back of the bulkhead or the front of the bulkhead? Because the bulkhead is probably at least a few feet.
Yeah,
You're on mute, Tom.
Mr. Dace, you're on mute.
You're back on mute, Tom.
All right, we good now?
You're good.
All right. That measurement I believe we're showing that to the, it looks like to the inside face of the bulkhead. I'd have to double check that though.
So if it's the inside face of the bulkhead, then a car theoretically doesn't have 16.8. Is that what you're saying?
Theoretically, yes, that would be correct.
Okay, so I think we need clarification on that. So with that being said, even if it's at 16.8 on the outside, then a person would have to pull all the way up to that. And we all know that when somebody parks a car, they don't pull it all the way up there. And if anybody's ridden their bike or walked past Derby Avenue on their way to the beach, there are many cars that poke out on the sidewalk. So to Lorraine, your point, if you guys have come by there, there are many cars that poke out on the sidewalk. I've seen many police officers drive down Derby Avenue past those cars that are poking out on the sidewalk. I don't know if that's what we want our police force doing is enforcing cars that are hanging over the sidewalk. So those are my concerns there. My other concern is if we could just get a timeline on when things are going to be taken care of. If it needs additional variances and those types of things, and that has to be pushed back, I understand the planning board's concerns, but I would ask that they at least have a timeline for the demolition of the home and for a new bulkhead to be put up. And I ask that requirement would be required of anyone that would purchase the property, because the property is for sale. So that same requirement would then go on to the property. The home itself, I think it's a beautiful home. I don't have any concerns with that. When you were talking about the zero left side variance, I think I'm in agreement with Mr. Cook. I think that could create a little bit of concern there. If Mr. Giegerich is issuing an easement, I'm not sure what happens when somebody's trying to buy that house and there's an easement going. I think his garage butts right up against that property, so the 3-foot easement actually might be going into his garage. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not sure what the survey is related on that property, but if there's an easement, the 3-foot easement will go through his garage. That's all the concerns or comments I have. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Mr. Hoffman, just so everybody knows, you're the house next door?
Yes, 162 North Derby, correct, Mr.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Cook, just to jump in to answer Mr. Hoffman's question, it was our intent to demolish the house and start the bulkheading upon receipt of final unappealable decision.
45 days.
Well, 45 days from the memorialization of your resolution, correct?
Exactly.
So with the board, with that being said, would the board give a portional resolution if there's still variances that need to be passed in order to meet that 45-day window?
This matter will be adjudicated tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. I have nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
We have Beth Cork.
Hi. Can you?
Yes.
Okay. Could you be sworn, please, Ms. Cork?
Ms. Cork, your name and address, please.
Beth Cork, 125 North Derby Avenue.
And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm one of the neighbors across the street from this house. And as some other people have mentioned, the house is absolutely currently an eyesore. In my opinion, it's the worst on the street. And I would say that's Paul's face too. When the street floods, I mean, our street floods very frequently on a full moon, new moon, with storm surge. It happens all the time. And the water comes in front of this house first. So improving the bulkhead would certainly help to reduce the amount of flooding that we get on the street. The plans that he shows are definitely in line with other houses that have been torn down and rebuilt on the street. So I think it does add to the overall appeal of the street. And as a person who will be looking at this house from across the street, from my porch. I think it is aesthetically pleasing, and that I look forward to seeing what the improvements look like. As for parking, everyone has mentioned that the parking is an issue on the street. I know that too. Most of the trucks, there are a lot of pickup trucks on here on Derby Ave. Most of them already illegally park halfway on the sidewalk. So that's something that the city might want to consider enforcing anyway. They drive half their tires up on the sidewalk, and that's the way they park on the street because it's narrow and they're trying to avoid having their car sideswiped. The other issue that we have is that most houses that have driveways don't even use them. They still park on the street. So I think having a net gain of even one parking space is a benefit to the parking situation on our street. And lastly, I'm just really in support of this proposal because it is a huge improvement. It'll improve the neighborhood property values and increase ratables in the city. And I think we know we all need that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is anybody else from the public has any questions or comments on this application? I do not see any, Jay.
Okay. So the public portion of this application is now closed. So we're back to any board members in questioning. Mr. Days, I have a question that Mr. Hoffman raised, was the measurement of the actual measurements of the parking place. You stated they were to the inside, but your measurements, what is the measurement? Your bulkhead is measured to the outer limit of the bulkhead for CAFRA purposes, not the inside. That means your parking place is not 16. It's not 16 feet.
Yeah, I'm trying to. As you know, what we show is a line, and that's not what a bulkhead is. And you are correct that typically, that measurement would be to the outside face because that's what CAFRA, DEP regulates. In this instance,
We lost you.
No, I can't really clarify except to say that we do measure the dimensions that are shown are correct, and if that is to the outside, then I would assume that we would lose the depth of that sheet, which in this case would probably be between 8 and 10 inches.
So you're using 10-inch butts on your poles, and you have sheathing and a whaler, so probably going to lose about a foot.
So the outside face would be the outside face of the corrugated sheet,
right?
And the piling would be most likely be waterward. So inside would be the inside edge of that sheet.
Okay, all right.
The depth of the section here for that bulkhead would probably be between 10 and 8 inches.
Mr. Cook, and I believe that we had asked Mr. Ponjo as part of this application to measure to the front of the bulkhead so we could determine the exact measurement for our parking space, and that's why it came up with 16.2 to 16.8. But we would make, I have no problems in making it a condition that measurement is recertified to be the 16.2 to 16.8 to the actual parking space, not to the outside of the bulkhead facing the water, but to the inside facing the street.
Well, if we approve it, you're going to build it to that. And that's what your testimony is too. So that's the story.
Correct.
So that's it. So you give us what you do. It better be there when, it's got to be there when it's done.
When it's an as-built, it has to measure exactly
right.
That.
Exactly right. So that resolves that issue. So people were very complimentary to your plan, which, it's a good plan. And Peter Weiss, but again, take some good solace in that as well, that it was well received. So we should move on. Now, are there any, Roger, do you have anything further you need to do?
I do have a little concern about these parking spaces. I see a return visit to the planning board if these don't comply as presented tonight. But then you got to weigh that out. Do you want to lose two partial parking spaces? You're only losing one on-street space. I don't know. I just see it being a problem. I hope I'm wrong, but.
What do you see as the problem, Roger, that they're going to be too short?
I think they're going to be more around 14 feet.
Yeah. If they're 14 feet, then I have that same issue.
That's where I was going with it. It's 14 or you know, 14 and a half feet somewhere in there.
If you look at the survey of the bulkhead line, it's a lot further closer to the street. And even if you get it to 2 foot allowance to build outside the existing bulkhead, so you're gaining 2 feet, but you're still losing, you know, your Z section is going to be at least 12 inches outside the inside. And it's at an angle. So the car is going to pull in at the cars that can't pull in to an angle. I think we need to be careful on this one.
Yeah, see, yeah, the minimum 16.2, and I don't see it with their measurements. What they're showing is them achieving that.
But the 16.
Yeah, if you scale the existing bulkhead on the short side, it's only 14 feet to the property line.
And once again, to just address that issue, we don't, Mr. Cook and Mr. Landgraf and Roger, we would agree with. If we can't give you a minimum parking space of 16.2 to 16.8, then we would either have to come back to the board and say, can we reduce it, or the parking variance goes away. Because we acknowledge your concerns. We don't want to have a 14 and a half foot space where somebody's always sticking out 2 feet and causing a problem for us and causing a problem for the neighborhood. So if we can't give you 16.2 to 16.8, then to us as an as-built, that variance would go away. And you know, if we're 3 inches off, we come back to the board. If we're a foot and a half off, we withdraw.
And CAFRA will not let you move that forward.
No.
Bayward.
No, that's waterfront development permit. They would not let you go more than 2 feet out.
Because they gave him 24 inches, right?
Correct.
So that might get you to that 16.
Right.
Well, Leo, can you phrase it out so that in the motions that this is covered?
Yeah, I can. I'm just trying to think if they can't comply and they have to come back and we grant, we would have to
grant a parking variance.
Parking variance, and if we don't, just trying to think what effect that's going to have on the whole. Then
they would have to remove that driveway.
They have to remove the driveway.
Correct. Yeah, because that's going to be the problem. The curb cut's going to be in already.
Correct.
So we'd have to grant a parking variance for no on-site parking.
I think maybe what happens is once the bulkhead gets set, because that's the first thing you're going to build.
Right. Then we'll know exactly.
Then we get an as-built, and we find out where we are.
Right.
They're at 16.1 and 16 to 16.5, as Brian said. And you know, they could maybe come back and get that additional relief because they're very close.
But if I'm at 14.5, forget it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what happens if you don't get the parking variance if you need it? That's kind of what I'm, you know, I'm trying to think down the road.
Well, once again, most of the people on the street don't have parking. So to us, gaining the one parking space is a plus. I mean, and if you want to, I mean, to be on the safe side tonight, you could say, okay, we're going to give you the house with zero parking.
All right, Leo and everybody, I think basically you can't zone the house out of existence because of a parking place. So, I mean, that's the reality of it. So let's just move ahead.
Is one angled spot in there like that? That won't work, I guess. Obviously,
no. But let's move ahead that way. We can't. With the property's not going to get zoned out of existence.
I understand. I know. I'm just.
All right. Any other members have any other questions?
I do one for maybe Roger and Leo can help me out. I thought we amended our building height to eliminate this eave issue. Didn't we try to do that? Because 2 years ago, and Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Every application had a roof eave variance.
Right, but what was happening is every third floor was coming in as a full third floor.
Right.
So we wanted to keep the idea was, the intent was to keep the eaves down, but not have a regular height, because, you know, you could build above a garage, you could build +3, +4.
So we amended it, and it's been reduced, the amount of variances that have been coming in.
Correct.
Just this one, because it's such a narrow building, I think, it's causing
the rest. Yeah, because that third floor is higher than 75%. I should.
Gotcha. Right. Understood. All right, now I get it. Thank you.
Okay. Are you good, Lance?
Yes, thank you,
Okay. Brian, do you have anything you want us to wrap it up with?
There might still be people in the public, Jay. I'm not sure.
I thought we closed the public portion.
Yes, we did close it.
We closed the public portion.
Sorry, I stand corrected.
Okay.
Mr. Brian? Cook, I was just to indicate, it's one again. It's a classic C1 application, 9 feet, 16 feet. It's good for the community, good for the neighborhood, and good for the city in the sense new bulkheading. Between the Hoffmans and us, we'll now have 100 feet of new bulkhead across there, a nice new asset, a dilapidated building that we've owned for 4 years, going through the CAFR application and everything else to get it approved. And I think it's something good for the city, good for the community, good for the neighborhood. So we would ask for your approval. Thank you.
Okay. And you do accept Mr. McLernan's report, correct?
We do.
Okay. At this point in time, then, board members, do you have any final questions before we go to a vote? Okay. Leo?
Yeah, I just have two questions. Mr. Dace, is there a building coverage calculation? Can you repeat that? I know that changed with the inclusion of the deck.
I think I heard 65 point something.
67.5.
Okay, and then the maintenance easement, lot 10 will give a maintenance easement to lot 11 for that first floor deck area. Brian, do you want to say in a form acceptable to the board, to me?
I'll send it over to you to make sure you're okay with it.
Okay, good enough. All right, I can frame a motion if everyone's ready.
Please do.
Okay, it's a motion for C variance relief. For several variances, I'll summarize them briefly, or maybe not so briefly. A lot area variance of 660 square feet, where 2,000 square feet is required. The lot depth variance of 9.8 feet, where 62.5 feet is required. Front yard setback to the building of 4 feet, where 12 feet is required. Side yard setback to the deck on the left side, and that's that front portion we talked about, of 0 feet, where 4 feet proposed, same on the right side. Rear yard setback to the building of 0 feet, where 12 feet is required. Rear yard setback to each of the rear decks, that's the first, second, and third floor, of 0 feet, where 6 feet is required. Rear yard deck heights for the second and third floor decks, because they're not permitted to be above the first floor, and they're proposing a second and third floor deck. Lot coverage variance of 86%, or 75% is the max permitted. Building coverage variance of 67.5%, or 60% is the max permitted. An eave height variance where they're not permitted, where they're only permitted to be 2 feet above the finished third floor, and they're proposing 8 feet above the finished third floor. The parking variance, not for the number of parking spaces, but for the size of them. They're proposing 2 spaces that will be between 16.2 to 16.8 feet. The applicant will, as a condition, will have to demonstrate that they comply with that distance from the land side of the bulkhead to the property line, or else they'll need additional relief. A landscaping variance of 13% where 25% is required. The conditions I have, we'll note the conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, and he made specific reference to a few of them, which the applicant said they're in agreement with. And I'll note that the bulkhead will be replaced with a code compliant bulkhead with the return as discussed. Lot 10 will give an the owner of lot 10, which is also the applicant, will give will give an easement to lot 11 for maintenance of that first floor deck, and it'll be in a form acceptable to me as the board attorney. And we'll say any other conditions, any other representations made by the applicant or on the applicant's behalf shall be complied with. And again, I reference Roger's report, so I think that's a.
Leo, we have one more variance. Third floor area.
Okay, that's right.
94% versus 75%.
Got it. So noted. Thank you. Yep.
Let me jump in for a potential one other variance. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that I don't come back at 16.2 and 16.8, but it comes back at 15 feet. Can I get a zero parking variance tonight so that I don't have to come back, file a brand new application to ask you for a parking variance in the future because my as-built didn't show 16.2 and 16.8?
That's up to the board if you want to entertain that now. I think what Mr. Callahan's saying, if his measurements are below a certain number, you know, whether it's
below the number you elicited.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, Mr. Cook. But if it was 16.1 and 16.5, I would come back and ask for relief from that.
Right.
But if it was 15.1 and 15.5, I wouldn't come back because, like, to me, that's not something that your board should grant. So, but then I would have to come back and say, I need you to grant me a variance for zero parking spaces on this particular application because I can't meet the condition. So I'd rather ask for that tonight to say, give me a zero if I can't come back with a reasonable one that's within inches. So I don't have to go back and make a whole brand new application to say, give me a zero parking space because I'm a foot off versus an inch off.
And the testimony provided should cover that variance request?
Yes.
All right, what is that drop dead number?
In my opinion, I would say 16. If I'm below 16 feet, to me, I wouldn't be giving a variance to anybody. That's just me.
I agree.
That's where I would be too, at 16
feet. Okay. So if it's less than 16 feet, we're adding to this list a variance for zero parking places, for compliance.
If it's between the two, I come back to you for relief.
Yep. Okay. I'm
board members, are you all right with that?
Yeah. That's what I was going to suggest, Jay. We should get the board members comfortable with that before we make that motion.
Yes. Okay, we're going to include that into the motion, so everyone's comfortable. It was so that's the case. Okay. Leo, do you have to restate it, or are you good with the way everybody good with the way Leo stated?
As long as everyone understands it,
okay.
I don't think we have to restate.
Everyone understand it?
Yes.
Okay. I need a motion and a second, please.
Make a motion.
Make the motion.
And Lorraine is the second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Paul, this is a long time coming. I know we've had some back and forth on this site. I think this is really the best we can get there. Beautiful structure. Peter, nice job. I really like the way that, and I said it in my first comments, was how that first floor widens out at the street. To take away that real narrowness of the building. The parking was a challenge here. I think we've addressed it as best we can. I hope we can get those two parking spaces there because I think that's important to get that added one space off street on that very narrow Derby Avenue. Thrilled that we're going to get that extra bulkhead and at New Heights. I think that's pretty much all that I have to say, and I support the application. I think the testimony under the C1 is right on point. There's not very much upland here, and those variances are all justified in my mind. I vote yes.
Tom Halpin?
It's definitely an improvement to the neighborhood. And I'm looking at the plans, and, you know, to me, it's a new classic bay house design. And along with the easement and the continuance of the bulkhead, I think it's a great idea. So I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. I think that the C1 criteria for positives have been met, and they do outweigh the negatives. There's been a willingness to address a lot of the issues here. And I was impressed with the input from the public, as well as the work that's done by the applicant's professionals in here. Problems got solved, and we kind of elicited through this whole thing some of the problems that were occurring. And I have to thank the board for its dialogue this evening on this particular application. So it is also congruent with the master plan, and it seeks to give it actually combines and fits into the pattern of the redevelopment for that particular street, which is a key street in Ventnor on the waterway. So I am again voting in favor.
Under normal.
Tom McAdam.
Under normal circumstances, I'd be reluctant to approve an application for new construction involving so many variances, but they're obvious why they are. And I think it's a good thing that the presentation clarified a lot of the issues that were of concern. The bottom line here is that it's an improvement to the neighborhood. Therefore, I approve.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. This is, to me, a hardship variance. It's going to be an improvement for the neighborhood. The bulkhead is an important issue. I wish CAFRA would be a little bit more reasonable and allow for the expansion. It would have made it a lot easier with the driveways. And I think it's consistent with the intent of our master plan and ordinance to improve neighborhoods.
Lorraine Salata?
I think any time we can eliminate a very dilapidated building such as this one, it's a plus for the city. The fact that it's along the waterway, we like to think that property along the water, is a little more exceptional real estate, and it helps values. So I'm totally on board with this house, even with the ordinances, variances, which normally that we don't give for new construction. And I think one of the main aspects of this that pleases me is the new bulkhead, which that street really needs help. Because of the flooding. So it's a plus all the way around. So I do vote yes.
Dan Smith III. You're on mute, Dan. Can't hear you.
Now?
You
yes.
Got me? Okay. I there's no way to deny the application because there was a structure there, and I think they've done a commendable job. The board has worked with them as far as we can go physically. I think it will all work out. You know, maybe you can put some compact cars in there, Jeeps, whatever, to get them off the street, but I don't think you're going to get a full-size car in there at any point based on those angles. But the bulkheading is a dramatic improvement for everyone on that street. And it's just another piece to the puzzle on the waterfront that makes Ventnor a better place to be, more compliant, follows our master plan. It's a win-win situation all the way around.
Amel, you complete? 7?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, Mr. Callahan, you have carried, and congratulations on your approval.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Good evening. Right. Good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you. Right.
All right.
All right. Next application is that of 21 North Lafayette Avenue.
I believe I'm going to guess this is the applicant.
Yes.
Glenn Cummings?
Yes. How are you?
Glenn, you're up on video here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First, we need to have you sworn. If we can have you swear, Leo, if you can swear it. Do you have anybody else testifying along with you?
No, it's just myself, John.
Okay, fine. So, Leo, could you swear Mr. Cummings in, please?
Yeah. Mr. Cummings, just state your name and address for the record and raise your right hand and I'll swear you in.
Glenn Cummings III, 15 Royalty Lane, Laurel Springs, New Jersey, 08021.
And please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Cummings, I'm going to have Mr. McLaren give a little bit of a preamble first on what you're doing and about the application, and then you'll come in and do your presentation.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Board Chairman, Board Members. My report is dated July 5th, 2020, in regard to the application of Glenn Cummings III, 21 North Lafayette Avenue, Block 130, Lot 15, obviously Mettner, New Jersey. It's a C variance. It's within the R4's single family zoning district. It's complete and it's a substantial benefit variance. Bottom of page one are the materials reviewed. Top of page two continues the materials and the project description is as follows. The applicant seeks relief from the city's land use requirements for C variances to construct a new in-ground swimming pool. The applicant seeks two side yard setback variances to construct the pool in an area more suitable for a hot tub, my opinion. So schedule of the zoning district relevant to this is on page two also. So the variances are as follows. Side yard setback variance to the pool side one, whereas 6 feet is required minimum setback, 3 feet is proposed for both sides of the setback to from a property line. The one property line is bounded by a garage that looks pretty old. The setback to his own property and his own garage will be 1 foot, and the setback to the neighboring garage or the neighbor's property, which is a backyard patio, is proposed to be 3 feet. Mr. Cummings received my application, and we talked to each other, we hashed it out. I said, look, you know, that garage of your neighbors, you're putting that garage in danger by having a 3 foot setback. Meet the 6 foot setback. I mean, that's one of the reasons it's for safety of his own kind. It's also for safety of a garage that's older. And unless you do some, you know, steel sheet shoring, that garage is probably going to have some structural damage. Whatever happens to his garage, that's on him. There's no ordinance requirement for that. And we talked about reducing the other side yard setback variance from 3 feet to 4 feet. So, and he's open to that. I think a 4 foot is a good compromise. This pool could be built pretty easily with that. And you have a 4 foot wide sidewalk to get around to the back of the pool in case there's something bad happens. So that was a suggestion. He's still, as far as I know, he's still seeking the 3 foot or the 3 foot side yard setback variances. And he also testified that the lot coverage will comply, an as-built survey will be submitted, and that a fence will be part of this application, and that'll be part of his construction permit and zoning permit, will be a fully compliant fence be installed as well as the pool equipment as well. So again, I reserve the right to discuss this further, but I return it over to Mr. Cummings.
Cummings, please proceed with your presentation.
Roger said it pretty well. Basically, like Roger stated, we're looking to put an in-ground swimming pool in, realizing that the property is small. The backyard of the property is small, based on a lot of size, the lot size of, with the house on the lot. Thus asking for the variance of 3 feet and having as much room as we could possibly have in the yard. I took in consideration Roger's suggestions with our neighboring garage behind us. We would like to have the 3 feet, but again, you know, we're willing to make a compromise in order to put the swimming pool and just ask for the variance in the one side and compromise going from 3 foot to 4 foot. So I think, you know, in summary, you know, Roger pretty much summarized, you know, his suggestions and what we discussed, and we're okay with that. It's still proceeding and putting the pool in if approved.
So you're saying that the 3 foot was against the neighboring garage would go to 6 feet, and then on the side yard you'd go from 3 to 4 feet.
Correct.
You're amending your application. Are you amending your application to that?
Yes.
Okay. So your application is hereby amended to those new dimensions.
So he's seeking one variance now.
Okay. And what variance is that, Roger?
The side yard setback to the neighbor to his right, which will be a 4 foot setback where 6 feet is required.
Okay. And so that is it. That is the only variance that you're seeking at this point.
That's correct.
Okay. Could you run by that again? You got me confused here. What are we changing this to?
Roger, please.
Yes. Mr. Cummings has agreed to actually pull his pool 3 feet closer to his house towards Lafayette Avenue to eliminate the one variance at the back of the pool. He's also agreed to shrink the pool by 1 foot to reduce the variance he's asking for on the right side of the pool from 3 feet to 4 feet. So he's eliminating one variance and he's reducing the magnitude of another variance.
So the variance that would run parallel to Winchester Avenue is being dismissed. Is that correct?
Yes, that front, yes.
All right, that one's parallel to Winchester. So he's doing 4 feet, so we don't need a variance there.
He's going to 6 feet in the back.
It runs parallel to Lafayette.
No, that's not the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, opposite Winchester is going to be 4 feet on that side.
Right.
Say that again. I missed it.
So opposite of Winchester Avenue, that where he's at 3 feet, he's moving. I think he's going to chop off 1 foot of the pool. So there's 4 feet on that side.
Correct. If I'm standing on Lafayette Avenue looking towards his house, looking down his right side property line, he's pulling that swimming pool 3 feet closer to Lafayette Avenue.
Right.
Cutting off one side closer to his house.
Okay. So I just want to make, okay. So that goes away.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So we're considering one variance at this point.
So that would make the pool 7 feet wide.
No, wait. You said he's coming in. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I don't know the dimensions of the pool offhand, but I just know the setbacks.
Okay.
So wait a minute. You're saying he's pulling it back to 4 feet when the pool setback is supposed to be 6 feet, according to the report that I'm looking at.
Correct.
So that's
variance. He's asking for a 2 foot variance.
So which one went away?
The rear one.
But he'll comply on the other.
I have a question, and this is for the minutes. I'm looking at your report. It's side yard setback pool side one, and then there's side yard setback pool two, side two. Which variance is being eliminated? The one that is side one or side two?
I guess side one is the one in the back where the garage is.
So okay. So we can't see the garage on the plans I have. So there's a north arrow on the plan. Can we use right. that as a reference, please?
If you look at the photos, yes.
Okay. Yeah, the photos, I mean, honestly, this needs a survey to be submitted. This is kind of not.
And then later in the packet, I did see another survey that does show his garage. So that's where I was a little confused.
Okay. All right, there we go. Now I'm seeing that.
That would be the northeast property line, it looks like.
Yes. So he's moving it away from the northeast property line to make that comply.
Correct.
And then the property line to the south, he's moving it just another foot away.
Or yeah. You could restate it as he's moving it 6 feet from lot 16, and he's moving it 4 feet from lot 14.
Perfect.
Yep. That's yes, idea. That is true.
Yes, yes.
There we go.
And that would be probably a better way of a succinct way of stating it.
Agreed.
It'll be a 6 foot setback from lot 16 and a 4 foot setback from lot 14.
Right.
6 foot is conforming, and on lot 14, the 4 foot is 2 feet short of the 6 feet required. And the variance will be a request will be for 2 feet.
Correct.
So what is it, what is the physical size of the pool now?
7'2" by 10", if I'm correct. Is that right, Mr. Cummins?
That's correct.
And the size of the fence would be what?
Minimum of 5, no higher than 6.
Okay.
Where's the equipment going?
That's the next question.
Oh, okay. I'll wait.
Good question. Good question.
No, that's question, a good Lorraine. Time for that question.
Good question. You're on time.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Cummins, you're up.
So we were proposing putting the equipment against the house further up in the, if you're looking at the landscape plan, I guess in the middle of the house on my property side closer to the house.
Okay. With that, we generally require noise screening around some of the equipment, the pumps and so on, to have an acoustical screening around it.
Yes, he will comply with the zoning requirement.
Right, but I want to specifically, is it in there, Roger, in the zoning requirement that acoustical screening is required?
I believe it is.
Okay, and how high is it? Here's the problem, is FEMA gets in. Now, sometimes they have to elevate that pool equipment because of FEMA.
I'll have to comply with that, yes.
So that has to be up. You need a FEMA compliance with that.
Okay.
So that'll put up on a deck. Now you have windows on that side of the house.
I do. Okay, I do, yes.
So before you're going to have to find an area. And what is the requirement for the equipment to be from the property line?
I believe that's only 4 feet.
4 feet.
4 feet. 4 feet. So, but it has to be the further the better, because neighbors don't like pool equipment. It's right. Noisy. So you're going to have to find a place and then do acoustical dampening to it. You'll appreciate it for your own family.
Yeah, understood. I think the property line to the middle of the house is roughly 10 feet or roughly 11 feet, so we will be in compliance with that.
Right, right, exactly. But that's going to have to be elevated to be FEMA compliant.
Okay.
Okay. Board members, any other discussion?
And any issues, Roger, with it being too close to the garage or to the house?
No.
Okay.
I had an issue with it being so close to the neighbor's garage.
You know,
his own garage is his own responsibility. But he was willing to move it away from the neighbor's garage and be fully compliant, so I'm okay with that. And it's not going to be a very deep pool.
What is the depth of the pool, Mr. Cummins?
I think currently the proposed 8x10 there, it's three feet, 4 inches, I believe.
Okay. So that's it. At this time, is there any more discussion or any more to introduce? So we'll open up to the public. Okay, I'm going to, Jim, if you could open up to the public, please, I'd appreciate it.
Anybody from the public wishes to speak on this item?
I'll go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Pascal, just state your name and address, please.
Sure. Bruce Pascal, 7101 Winchester Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity for neighbors to talk. So the story is, I'll start off by simply saying I support this application, but I would like the board to potentially consider a couple conditions. If you look at the house today, it was purchased 7 years ago. As of yesterday's morning, I believe I called the Ventnor office. It's had 45 citations related to its condition in the 7 years. And if you go by there tonight, it has a Johnny on the spot porta potty on the corner that every neighbor's had to see for, you know, for years. We have shingles that are being stored that could have been kept on the back of the house or in the garage. And we have some kind of recycle. It's basically been a nightmare for all the neighbors during this 4.5 years. And our understanding is from the contractors that they would start, they wouldn't get paid, they leave, they start, stop. And so it's been a nightmare for all the neighbors. But the bottom line is I support it, but I would like to have two conditions. The first condition is for the rest of the construction, they put the Johnny on the spot, they put their building supplies and their excess materials, store them on the back of the house instead of everybody that drives by. Neighbors, you can see cars stopping and going out and using the bathroom. It's just not a great thing for the neighbors. And the second thing is I would like to see if all the estimated cost could be escrowed first, so we don't start the project and then stop it and, you know, a year all the neighbors have to live through a 1 year pool project. So with those conditions, I'm supportive to start the lease, but I want to make sure it starts and it's finished and the neighbors don't have to live. I kind of speak for every single neighbor, you know, to live through the 4.5 year construction project we've had.
Okay. That's it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
Mr. Cummins.
Yes.
You've heard Mr. Pascal. 4.5 is a long time to be on a construction project. When do you intend to complete the project?
We're near finishing. You know, at this time of the year, it's hard to get guys to come back. We've been waiting for some garage doors to come in. The garage was just done. Countertops are being installed next week. I mean, we're weeks away, and part of the issue with getting the pool variance is we want to be able to landscape as soon as we get our CO, and the sooner we can get the decision on the pool, then we don't want to landscape and tear things up and then have to put a pool in. So we're trying to time that all at the same time.
Mr. Pascal mentioned about escrowing dollars to be sure that everything's paid and the pool can be completed.
I guess contractors can talk and there's two sides to every story, so I don't really know how I can speculate on that.
The project
has taken about 3 years, but again, that's an opinion of his based on people that are doing work for me.
Okay. Can you, we'll talk about a completion date for everything to be done because of the duration of the project.
Sure. I mean,
if that's okay with you. You know, the idea is everybody's going to work together to get this thing done.
As far as material, I know we just dropped shingles off to finish the garage this week. Hey, look, you know, I understand, you know, I'm a homeowner in my own house here, and projects go on. And as neighbors, you want things done as quick as possible. I think everybody's going to be happy with the house in the condition as opposed to what was there. As far as materials beyond the property, yeah, I can simply ask, suppliers to try to drop it off into the back of the property and comply with that. I didn't know that was an issue until the first time I heard that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the dialogue.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Do we have anything next here?
Let Mr. Cummings address those 45 citations that he got.
Well, I want to go stay with the public, Mr. McAdam, for a minute, and then we'll address that. Could you hold that for a second?
I would. I thought that would be part of his dialogue answer.
Okay, well, then let's go right to it.
Responding to the neighbor.
Let's go right into it.
Most of the citations have been related to trash, and a couple have been to the grass cutting. We live some distance away, and to get back and forth, and again, people are telling you that they're cutting the grass. The one company that I had did it, doing it never even informed me that they went out of business. We had obviously with COVID there at the beginning, I put the dumpster permit in. I didn't want to just drop a dumpster off until I got the approval from the city, especially with prior citations, but the most of it have been related to trash and the grass not being cut. If not, not most of them, it was either or. And then when I would go down and find out that was the issue after I'm being told by people that I'm paying that they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Mr. McAdam?
Tom? Well, it seems like the owner's not doing his due diligence of staying on top of his contractors and being a good neighbor.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Tom, we're going to continue with the public. Jim, is there anyone else in the public who wishes to speak?
Anybody else in the public, please raise hand. I do not see any.
Okay, so the public portion is now, of this is now closed, this application. Board members, you've heard the comments, you've heard the dialogue. Anything you wish to put discuss with Mr. Cummins?
Yes, I'm looking at Roger's report and about the coverage. In your comments, Roger, you're indicating that he's not really giving us an idea of pavers or impervious surface to be added. Do we need to know that because it's going to affect the coverage and, you know, is that going to trigger another variance? And what's the game plan here?
The game plan, I did speak to him. I did run calculations with the pool. And he's, even with the pool and some pavers, he's still way under.
Okay.
That's why the request of an as-built survey when he's all done to be submitted to indicate the lot coverage and make sure it complies.
I apologize. I didn't realize that needed to be included. Roger and I did discuss. We intend to put bluestone around the pool and off the porch and the walkway, as well as the new driveway to match our front porch. So I think it'll look really good.
Right, and you're going to match that landscape plan that was approved for your prior application as closely as possible.
That's correct. Yes.
Bless the pool.
Correct, Roger.
Okay. All right. Okay.
There's just one other thing, and maybe I missed something here. Okay, so just bear with me a minute here. I understand you said we eliminated one variance, but when I'm looking at Roger, your report, it says the required minimum for setbacks is 6 feet.
Correct.
Right. So I don't see where we got rid of 6 feet. Or we eliminated 3 feet on one side.
He was seeking a variance of 3 feet
right
in the rear.
Right.
He's now going to comply at 6 feet. On the other side, he also asked for a 3 foot variance for the setback, and he's reducing that to 4 feet. So he still needs one variance for 2 feet.
So I guess I'm just not seeing if it's reduced like that, how does the size of the pool come to 7.2 by 10?
Because
if you're coming in another 3 feet, right, that's the 7 feet.
The pool was moved forward 3 feet.
Right.
And that takes the 3 feet up. On the side of lot 14, the pool, 1 foot was chopped off the pool to give it 4 feet. So now you have a 2 foot variance. That's how they got there.
Okay, now I understand it. Thank you very much for the clarification.
You're welcome.
I'm a little dense on some
things. You ask the questions, we get the answers.
I was having the same problem, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it.
The math is not working for me. All right.
This is an eclectic group. We get the answer, and we have the discussion, and we get it done.
All right.
So that's the main thing.
Well, let me ask something, if I could. Is this a different model of pool? It's going to be a 7 foot wide?
It's going to be, yeah, it'd be a 7 foot wide.
And do they have that with Swim USA?
They do. It's a similar, it's more of an oblong because of the 7 feet. So it's 10 feet by 7 feet, but it's not a perfect square for that reason.
Okay.
I mean, I could also, you know, I want to put the fiberglass drop-in pool. I mean, you know, I know that the code is 6 foot by 6 foot. I mean, my wife and I could go in and put an application in for a pool to meet those codes. We'd have to put like a gunite pool and go through that process.
Right.
So we could do that. But, you know, we were trying to do this and save as much room in this small yard as possible and be able to enjoy a pool, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, they do make a pool that's 7 foot wide as well.
All right. Thank you. Yep.
Okay. Is there anything else we have to discuss as a board? Questions of anybody? Discussion? Leo, anything that we have to bring up and discuss with Mr. Cummins?
I don't think so. Not sure if we have an ordinance as far as porta potties.
It's part of the code. I think that's got to be moved out of the front. It's got to be moved.
Put it in the driveway.
Yeah, it's got to be moved on this side, at least 20 feet from the front of the house.
Driveway or the backyard? I mean, I guess they got to be able to get to it to drop it.
Yeah,
off.
They can't. They're not going to be able to put it in the back, so it won't be able to lift it.
Put it on the front. On the front, move it back 20 feet from the sidewalk.
Okay, it's on.
And I would suggest it be locked if you have people stopping to use the restroom.
Yeah, like the mailman and everybody else.
Yeah. Well, they're. And the other thing is if you're close to completion on construction, and I realize, you know, this affects you personally and everything with the pool and so on. If you could give this board, we'd like to have a completion date for the property and for the entire job.
I would say by September 1st for sure. I'm hoping we'll be done in the next 3 or 4 weeks, but if you ask me to give you a date, I'd like to have a couple extra weeks.
If you said September 30th, you would be good?
Yeah, as far as being able to get a CO or going in, you know, but I don't see how I'm going to be landscaped into this pool, and by then that's going to be impossible.
When will you be landscaped in the pool in?
I guess once we're done, I've got to go in and get a permit for the pool, right? And depending on how fast I get the permit, and you know, I'm working on getting all that set up, with not knowing what size and how long it takes to get the pool. You know, how many weeks, you know, to order the pool. I couldn't order the pool till I know what size I'm going to put in.
Right.
But as far as the house being done and getting the spot of pot out of there, I mean, I just wanted to state, you know, we appreciate the patience. I mean, the house is going to be beautiful. It's going to enhance everyone else in the neighborhood. We're happy. We're excited to be a part of the town, but we just want to make sure that we did things right, you know.
Right. The house is looking pretty good. I have to tell you that it'll turn out well.
I appreciate it very much.
And so you're September 30th on the house.
Correct.
We'll say for a CO. And then could you have the pool and landscape before December 1st?
I think that's doable, yeah.
Okay, fine. So let's have this job completed by December 1st, landscaped and pool. It's still not too cold. You can get your landscaping in and everything by then.
Believe me, we'll be down there in the winter.
Okay, but I'm saying that for the job itself. So is are you comfortable with that?
Yes, I am, yes.
Okay, I don't want to stretch you too hard, you know, on this. And
no,
you're working with us, and we want to work with you and make it a good experience for you to come in.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, they tell me the pool's 10 weeks or 12 weeks. It's a, you know, it's a fiber.
Okay.
I can't give that answer yet.
I'm assuming,
well, you know what I mean? But to be done by September 1st as far as the rest of the house, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we'll use those dates as September 30th for a CO and December 1 for completion with everything, with the pool and landscaping.
Appreciate it.
Okay. That would be it.
We ran into problems. We put a new sewer main in. I mean, everything's brand new.
welcome to doing renovating houses.
And where's the porta potty now, Mr. Cummings?
That's what I was going to state.
Front yard. It's in the front yard.
It's actually on the side. It's on the side porch. It's in front of the side porch on the Lafayette side. So, I mean, it's a corner lot. Like, what's the front of the house?
There's two fronts. Sure. Lafayette and Winchester.
It's on the Lafayette side?
It's on the Lafayette front yard setback.
Well, where do you guys want that?
And he's going to move it back along on the side of the house from Lafayette Avenue in the 12-foot and the basically a 12-foot side yard, minimum 20 feet from the sidewalk.
Is that okay?
Let me ask a question. How much longer are we going to need the porta potty there?
The water's going to come now. I mean, once the countertops go in, the sinks can go in. By September 30th, if spot a pot or sooner, that'll be gone.
There's no working restroom in the house?
Not right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just worried about how they're going to get 20 feet back on the side of the property.
They can do it, believe me. I've had a lot of them on jobs. They can do it.
I'll just tell them.
They can do it.
You got it.
That's it.
Back on the Lafayette side, correct?
Right. Yes. Okay. Leo, members, are we ready to go to a resolution?
Yep. Yeah.
And for a vote? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Roger, just proof what Leo's doing and make sure we're complete. Rio, please frame it.
Yep, that's one variance for the pool setback on next to the lot 14 or the south property line of 4 feet or 6 feet required. The conditions will be that there'll be a code compliant fence. The pool equipment will have to meet ordinance standards with noise screening and elevation and whatever else is required. The applicant will move his materials and supplies on the property into the back. We'll provide an as-built survey. And then we'll have a completion date for the house and the CO for the house of September 30th and for the pool and the landscaping of December 1st. And I'll move the porta potty 20 feet back off of Lafayette Avenue's property line. And then we'll say any other conditions of Mr. McCarran's report unless otherwise modified, and then the applicant will comply with any representations he made during the course of the hearing.
The pool equipment is to be located on the side of the house, which is the lot 14 side of the house, attached to the house, and at the proper elevation. Okay. And that's a position on that wall is to be determined. And Mr. McLernan will have final, Mr. Cummins, you would go. I would ask you to review that with Mr. McLernan before you submit it.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do we have a date on the moving of the porta potty?
Within 10 days.
Tom, it was Commissioner Landgraf recommended 10 days.
By next Friday of next week.
And locked. It's got to be locked. While the contractor's not on the site, it should be locked.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. One variance, a lot of conditions.
Yeah.
Okay, please proceed.
Someone needs to make that motion.
Well, you have to elicit the motion first of all. Leo, please tell us what the motion is.
I did that, but
I'm sorry.
I can do it. Do you want? It's the variance is a side yard setback of 4 feet to the lot 14 property line, or 6 feet required for the pool. And the conditions again, the fence that we talked about. Pool equipment's going to be located on the lot 14 side of the house, elevated to the appropriate height and a location to be approved by Mr. McLarnon. The materials will be moved to the back of the house. The applicant will provide an as-built survey upon completion. The CO for the house and the house construction will be done by September 30th. For the pool and the landscaping will be done by December 1st. The porta potty will be moved 20 feet from the Lafayette Avenue property line within 10 days or by next Friday, and it'll be locked while the contractor's not on site. Any other conditions in Mr. McCartney's report, and then any other representations made by the applicant.
Okay.
Compliance plans have to show the revisions.
Yes. Okay.
And we had the revisions added to it.
Yes.
All right.
I'll make the motion.
Make a motion. Second?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Having a hard time with this. I appreciate the pool being moved and the variance. It really isn't the issue for me. It's the fact that we've had this many violations here. I see a lot of these come through because I get a report every week. And actually, this didn't pop up that there was that many of them. So I'm disappointed that there are this many violations, property maintenance issues. That is the bulk of what we get down here is property maintenance. I'm hoping, Mr. Cummings, that this moving this property forward is something that is in a priority with you and your family. I got to be honest, if I was Mr. Pascal, I would not have come to this hearing remotely or not and supported the application as a neighbor. So you got to buy this gentleman a beer after tonight when you guys are back down there, because we've all in this town have lived in a construction zone when our neighbor does a home. And it gets painful sometimes. And you know, that many violations would have certainly not had me come into a meeting to support your application. His support of it is the only reason I'm voting yes. I'm joking about the beer, but that's the only reason I would have supported this, because he put up with this. Your neighbors put up with this. You really need to get this project done, and really clean up the site and get it. It's where your neighbors aren't having a problem with it. So I do vote yes. So good luck with it.
Tom, happen.
From a first responder view of a pool in a backyard, I'm kind of concerned. But the pool isn't that deep. It's a 3-4, I believe. And you did, with the setback, you amended that. And I feel that's acceptable. It's going to be an improvement in lifestyle, and with you doing the landscaping and maybe stepping up your game on this property, I think it work. And I say yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes for it. First of all, I think we're going in a positive vein for Mr. Cummins, and Mr. Cummins, I'm going to ask you to step up, and the board's stepping up for you. So I want you to step up for the city. That'll be the case. And I will be driving by and looking at the property too. On that regard, the property, the work has been done, has been decent over there. Just needs to get finished up, and you have the dates. The variance that's at hand, I think is doable and is not something that's onerous for what's actually occurring. And again, I have to thank the applicant for cooperating with us, with the city, and trying to remove variances and make it more palatable. So it's, again, I congruent with it. And I have to echo some of the sentiments of Commissioner Landgraf, that there's a lot of citations here. And we're gonna end that all and by finishing it. So I vote yes.
Tom McAdam.
I also echo Commissioner Landgraf's comments. I have zero tolerance for somebody, a property owner in Ventnor, that doesn't take the time or the concern of maintaining his property for not only his own use, but his neighbors and the city. 45 violations is something that, it's inexcusable, that should never have happened. It should have gotten your attention after the first one, to pay more attention to what's going on with your own property. If you're not for yourself, for your neighbor's sake.
Having said that, I would approve the application.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also approve the application. I'm grateful for the compromises. If it was no compromise, I would have voted no.
Lorraine Salata.
You know, I've lived in Venner a very long time, and this is a community, especially with the boards, that always supports development, new construction, renovation. But what you have here is really outrageous. To put your neighbors through what you put them through, I just find it appalling. I hope going forward that this can all be rectified, because it's not fair and it's not neighborly. I will vote yes, because there really is no harm to what you're asking for. But again, I think it's shameful that you have that many citations on a property.
Dan Smith the third. You're on mute, Dan.
Good now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to have to abstain because I did not hear the majority of the testimony. My signal kept popping out, and I kept trying to re-enter, but I don't have. I missed 90% of it.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Taco can vote. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Cummings was willing to amend the application and eliminate one of the variances. I will echo the feelings of the rest of the board that time to get the job done and be a better neighbor. But I will vote in favor of it. Good luck.
Mr. Cummings, you're approved.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
And I appreciate you working with us, and we'll go forward in a better manner. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
Right.
And good luck on your project, by the way. Board members, tonight was a great meeting. The dialogue that you, the discussion that we had on these cases was excellent. I learned things, and you guys put, situations, and, we talked it out. So I just got to say thank you.
Thanks, Jay. I got to lose the battery power.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. That's it. So, James, as always, I appreciate you keeping us on the air and keeping us live.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you. Well done.
Thank you.
We'll see if Biagi can do this tomorrow night for the commission meeting.
Carmella.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being that board administrator extraordinaire.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Take care.
May I have a motion for adjournment, please?
Motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Have a great evening.
All right. Good night.
You too. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.